AmericanPropertyAdvisors.com.
Frank, and happy holidays.
This is Jay Marvin. Happy holidays from AM 760 Boulder's Progressive Talk.
AKCN Thornton Boulder.
With the California Supreme Court refusing to stop it, the execution of Crips gang founder Tookie Williams is on for midnight tonight. Shaka Satori is with the Save Tookie Committee.
Because a person has been tried and convicted in this country doesn't necessarily mean that they're guilty.
It's a case that has attracted attention throughout the country and beyond. Big-name performers like rap star Snoop Dogg have come out in support of Tookie Williams.
We're all about one thing, humanity, man. It's about keeping this man alive because his voice needs to be heard.
But members of the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office say Williams should be put to death. Prosecutor John Monahan.
The evidence in this case is truly overwhelming.
In the end, the decision on whether Williams lives or dies is in the hands of the courts and California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at San Quentin Prison.
Iraqi soldiers sound off as they go to vote. Soldiers and policemen can cast early ballots so they'll be in place to protect polling places when everyone else goes to elect a new government on Thursday. In Baghdad, there's evidence that 13 prisoners in an overcrowded Iraqi detention center may have been abused. CBS's Kimberly Dozier spoke to an American military officer.
He said it wasn't as bad as the Ministry of Interior secret detention facility that they raided a few weeks back, that there were signs of things like electric shock and people being starved to death. But this is a concern, and they've made it very clear to the Iraqi government.
Here at home, the jury is still out at the latest Vioxx trial. CBS's Barry Bagnetto has that.
The jury was sent back to work over the weekend after telling the judge they can't reach a unanimous verdict on whether Vioxx contributed to the heart attack death of a 53-year-old Florida man. Richard Dickey Urban took the controversial drug for about a month for back pain. Vioxx's maker Merck argues that was too short a time for his heart to be affected. The drug was pulled from the market after a study showed it sharply raises heart attack and stroke risk after a year and a half of use.
An early morning fire in a nursing home at the northern tip of Michigan has killed at least two people, sent dozens more to the hospital. Others were evacuated into the freezing cold.
We had to get them out because of the fire, obviously. They got them out as quick as they could, and then we had some local buses, and then they got a couple of school buses that's real close by to come and get them.
State Police Sergeant Brian Graustein says officials have no idea how that fire started. Well, Japan is easing a ban on imports of American beef. Spokesman Bert Rutherford says that's big news for the Texas cattle industry.
Prior to the ban, they were about 60%, 50 to 60% of our total exports.
Japan banned American beef 2 years ago because of a single case of mad cow disease. The CBS Health Watch, British researchers say colds and other common infections that affect pregnant women and babies may trigger leukemia and other forms of childhood cancer. Leukemia is the most common kind of childhood cancer. Ahead of the bell, S&P futures are up 5 points. This is CBS News.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-204-6810. That's 1-800-204-6810. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-204-6810.
News this hour brought to you by Men's Warehouse.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
We're off to a good start so far this morning. Checking clear on I-25, 6th Avenue, the Turnpike, 225, and C-470. All of them trouble-free at the moment. Now, I-70, also in pretty good shape. We had a closure up in the mountains between Eisenhower Tunnel and Silverthorne. That has been reopened. Had a bad semi-accident earlier, during the overnight. But that has been cleaned up and is now out of your way. Now, checking out the forecast.
Colorado.com for details. That's BelmarColorado.com. Belmar, located at Wadsworth and Alameda.
AM 760. The real story. 24/7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ed Schultz, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhoads, 48, the best.
Because then again, everything right is on the left.
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
That's great.
Randy Rhodes.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
You're doing a great job.
AM 760.
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
The leaders in massage innovation. I'm Charles Osgood. Voting in this week's Iraqi election has already begun in hospitals, military camps, even prisons across Iraq. In the last election, the Sunnis did not participate. Their leaders told them not to go to the polls, and they didn't. As a consequence, they've been left out of everything. Now, realizing they made a mistake, Sunni leaders, like Sheikh Moshe Al-Faisal, have urged their followers this time to turn out and vote.
I said to them, this is the future of your country and the future of your families and the future of your children.
U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalilzad, believes they will.
For the first time in the coming election, the Sunnis will participate in large numbers. They will be represented in the assembly in the way that they have not been before.
More after this for home medics. Here's something Gene and I are using that both of us think is terrific and would make a fantastic yet affordable holiday gift. The Home Medic Shiatsu Massaging Back Cushion. You put it across any chair, and it will deliver a relaxing, deep-kneading, stress-melting, invigorating massage. The Home Medic Shiatsu Massaging Cushion is truly state-of-the-art. It's so good that Consumer's Digest has given it the Best Buy Award. Shiatsu Massaging Back Cushion from Home Medics, this year's perfect holiday gift, available at stores everywhere. Visit homemedics.com today.
Hello?
Hey, Jeff, it's Tom. I need some advice from my accountant.
Okay.
Insurance company.
Two words. Northwestern Mutual.
My business, employee benefits, retention.
Northwestern Mutual.
Insuring key people.
Yep.
Respected, high standards.
One of the best.
Okay, so just to be clear.
Bye, Tom.
Whatever your business insurance question, a quiet conversation with Northwestern Mutual is the answer. Northwestern Mutual Financial Network. The quiet company. The Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The reason the Sunni leaders want their people to vote this week is that they need representation in the Iraqi assembly. U.S. Ambassador Khalilzad.
The coming assembly will deal with many key issues, including amending the constitution within the first 6 months, which could make the constitution more broadly acceptable to the Sunnis.
On ABC's This Week with Khalilzad was Senator Joe Biden, Democrat of Delaware.
The real deal here is the constitution. 4 to 6 months later, there's going to be a vote on the constitution. That is either going to be a document of division or a document of unity. If it ends up being viewed as a document of division where the Sunnis think they're out of the deal, then I think we're in real trouble.
And trouble could come now from other sources, CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier.
Absolutely, and there are at least 100 different Sunni militant groups, so it remains to be seen whether all of them will heed the Sunni political call to stay quiet for the polls. And of course, Al-Qaeda, Ansar al-Sunna, groups like that that simply want to bring chaos here, they're still out there, and they answer to no one.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Get the good stuff.
Neff is heating up the holidays with the hot new Napa Orange County Chopper Schwinn Stingray Bicycle. Stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store and enter to win today. This authentic 20-inch Schwinn single-speed Stingray bicycle comes with custom Napa and OCC graphics, a low-ride saddle, wishbone kickstand, and a big boa back tire. See store for official sweepstakes rules and complete details. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
The Osgood File, December 12th, 2005.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Am I here? 6:09, 9 minutes after 6. Still standing and fighting the world's worst cold. Jay Marvin on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Look for the high today to be around 50. Going to be a nice day, and hopefully it'll melt off some of that remaining snow and a little bit of ice. Sunshine today, too. So get out there and enjoy the day. Well, that sounds funny, doesn't it, when it's 50 degrees? Get out there and enjoy the day. There's a lot of places, particularly in the far west, and like on the Pacific coast, where 50 is considered cold. I remember growing up as a kid, of course, we didn't have, climate change and global warming. But I remember growing up as a kid, when you went to school and it was 50 degrees outside, you took a jacket because that was considered cold. I never really experienced any really cold weather until I started to work on the East Coast. Do you consider Virginia on the East Coast? Yeah, but I worked in Lynchburg, Virginia.
It was like the first place I ever worked where I ever encountered snow. Back in the days when you used to put chains on your tires. They still do that? Put chains on tires? I guess if you drive the higher elevations here, you have to, right? Excuse me. Anyway, that was the first time I ever encountered snow. And then, of course, it was downhill from there. Snow in Amarillo. Snow in Charlotte, North Carolina. Not heavy, though. Worst I ever experienced was when Mary and I were living in Chicago. Snow. That's my cold coming up there. Snow. Oh, also in Memphis, ice storms. That used to get really ugly. All right, it's good to have you along here this morning. 303-713-7600. There is a lot to talk about on a Monday morning. Usually on Monday morning, there's really nothing to talk about. We have to invent stuff because there's not a lot going on. The voting has started in Iraq. That's among people in hospitals, the military, and other government entities, and we'll talk about that this morning. George W. Bush has picked an historic site for another spellbinding speech on Iraq. Bush is using his visit to Philadelphia, the birthplace of the U.S. Constitution, as a reminder before the Iraqi elections that the path to American democracy was not always easy either. And there is a slight indication that these speeches are beginning to help Bush. You know, you really can't figure out this polling because they say that Bush is up by 45%. Now, is that the economy or is that Iraq? That's point number one. Point number two, the margin of error in these deals. The margin of error in these deals is plus or minus 3%. So at plus or minus 3%, how can he be up 45%? It would have to be, and I'm not really good at math, but it'd have to be somewhere around 42, wouldn't it? 41. A couple of percentage points. And do you think these speeches that Bush does, and there is going to be two more. There's one today, and then there's one after that, and then that's it, I guess, is he going to stop for a while. But do you think these speeches really do? You know, there's a couple of things we're going to ask this morning. Once I get into this whole Iraqi situation, once we get into it. Number one, do you think these speeches help? Do these speeches by George W. Bush help? Does it really work? I mean, is he that sterling of a salesperson that he can reverse all of this? And you know what? As Time Magazine's Michael Weir said last week or the week before last, that a lot of what Bush said in his last speech was exaggerations and wasn't the truth. For instance, his comments about Mosul, which happens to be one of the most dangerous cities in Iraq, especially the southern end of Mosul, where Bush talks about how great they're doing in Mosul, about the Iraq readiness, the troop readiness. So Michael Weir comes along and gets on various talking head shows and punctures a hole in that. And particularly what was amusing is, and I admit to being a fan of his, even though I suspect that he's conservative. And I talk about this most every single day. I know I got a fetish about it. And I get emails from people saying, stop talking about Chris Matthews. But it's true. Matthews had Michael Weir on of Time. And Matthews, going into the commercial break, says, coming up, we're having Time Magazine's Baghdad bureau chief, or whatever it is that Michael Weir does, talking about Iraq. And there's not all bad news. Then they go to the commercials with all of the financial places that they advertise on there. And they come back, and Michael Weir has nothing but bad things to say about what's going on over there. So we'll talk about that a little bit later today, whether you think Bush, later this morning, whether you think Bush, you think his speeches by Bush, you think they work? And also, oh, and you know what? Bush is calling it a strategy for victory speech. Once again, we have no idea what this administration what their goal. I mean, what's victory? Okay, define victory, please. Can the White House define what victory is? We have no idea what that means. But he's going to give this thing, this victory speech is coming up this morning sometime. Or is it this afternoon? Anyway, he's going to do it today. And, of course, the Iraqis are preparing to vote this week under tight security to elect a 275-member parliament that will run the country for the next 4 years. And the election will be the first under the new constitution ratified October the 15th in that referendum and will complete steps towards democratizing following the ouster of Saddam Hussein's government. And so, you know, I'll ask you if you think that's going to make any difference. Also, Richard Pryor passed away over the weekend. I wasn't that big of a Richard Pryor fan, although I know for a fact that he did groundbreaking comedy. And a lot of you were probably Richard Pryor fans. The death over the weekend that hit me the most, and I was listening to Morning Sedition coming in this morning, and they made really no mention of it. And it got a two-page article in the New York Times on Sunday, was the death of Eugene McCarthy. And I don't know how old you are, but depending on your age, you probably remember McCarthy if you're older, like in your 50s, like I am. Maybe in your 40s you remember him. The whole Go Clean for Gene campaign of Eugene McCarthy, who ran against LBJ and beat him in the New Hampshire primary and forced LBJ to withdraw his nomination for president. I mean, to run again as an incumbent. At the end of a speech LBJ gave on television, he tagged on that, "I will not seek my party's nomination." And that was because of Eugene McCarthy. And to make a long story short, then Bobby Kennedy, smelling blood in the water, he jumped in. And then, of course, he was assassinated at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. And so then it was McCarthy, and the Democratic machine put up Hubert Humphrey, LBJ's vice president. And the McCarthy delegates were all locked out of the 68 convention. And as you know, the 68 convention was a disaster, with riots in the streets, student rebellion, the police, Mayor Daley's Chicago police, beating rioters senseless over there in Grant Park, throwing people through the window of the Hilton there. And McCarthy, of course, never had a chance. After that, it was like it was over, because he couldn't get his delegates, and they locked him out. So he couldn't even get a minimal vote. And in the New Hampshire primary, McCarthy got like less than 1% of the vote. But it was enough to convince LBJ to get out, that he wasn't going to seek re-election. And, of course, as I said, Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in 1968. And we had Hubert Humphrey, the joyful warrior, who ran against Nixon and barely lost to Richard Nixon, narrowly lost to Dick Nixon. And, of course, with Dick Nixon, the rest is history. I'm not a crook. Right? Dick Nixon, who smacks back to the McCarthy years, who was like one of the biggest McCarthy butt kissers. And then when Joe McCarthy got into trouble, you know, Nixon tried to distance himself. And Nixon was a red baiter from way back. Helen Gagan Davis, I think, was her name, that in his first congressional race, Nixon painted her as being a commie. 617, 17 minutes after 6, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. It's kind of, come-as-you-are hour this morning, so you can talk about it.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at riptidehosting.com.
Business owners, if you want half off paper clips, we can't help you. If you want half off computers, we can't help you. If you want half off letterhead or coffee mugs, we can't help you. But if you want to save up to half the cost on your new building, well, we can help you. We're General Steel, and we can get you a brand new steel building for up to half the cost of conventional construction, and it can be put up in about half the time. When you look around, you'll see that more and more businesses, churches, and schools are using steel buildings to save time and money. And what's more, you choose the size and you choose the look. Brick, stucco, or stone, whatever you want. If you want a new building for up to half the cost of conventional construction, call General Steel today. For your free information, call 800-220-1320. For a church, school, or gymnasium, manufacturing, warehousing, or retail buildings, call for your free information at 800-220-1320. That's 800-220-1320.
Hey, do you consider yourself a great poker player? Want to test your skills against the likes of Rob Blake, Dan Hino, John Michael Lyles, and Brad May? Then join Amber Holmes for the second annual Full House Celebrity Poker Tournament on Saturday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Amber Holmes specializes in affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes, and they're proud to help local Denver charities through this annual Celebrity Poker Tournament. For more information or to register as a player, log on to amberholmes.com. Amber Holmes, a higher standard.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and Stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and Stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month, applies to digital silver with Stars. After promotional period, regular rate supply, restricted supply not available in all areas.
Of late model used cars, trucks, minivans, and vans, and SUVs. Man, if you need an SUV, I mean, Rockies is just jam-packed with SUVs. They've got some good-looking SUVs out there, and also some great-looking cars. And the people working at Rockies, well, they're dedicated to making you happy. It's basically what they're about. They want you to find the car you really want, and they want your buying experience to be very, very pleasant. I've talked about this before on the air. It's really true. Think about this. Take a gut check. When it comes to buying a car, and it comes to walking on a car dealership lot, what's the first thing that hits you? Cynicism, right? You don't trust car salesmen. And let's face it, after watching the movie Used Cars and other things, car salesmen have like a bad rep. But you know what? At Rockies, those guys are 100% solid, those men and women working there. If they aren't solid, they don't work there. I mean, that's basically how Rockies operates. And every car is equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. Check out Rockies Autos on the internet at rockiesautos.com. You can pre-qualify for a car loan there and then go pick out the car you want. Or, you know, get on down there to see them. They're open 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. But if you come close to 8, they'll...
233-0833.
Find out how affordable quality can be.
Now it's getting serious. Jay Marvin is on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 622, 22 minutes after 6. High today, 50 degrees under sunshine. That ought to make your morning. Jay Marvin here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. There is so much to talk about this morning, which is unusual for a Monday morning. And we'll try to get into as much of it as we can before 10 o'clock here this morning. All right, let's go to Ron in Longmont, who's been hanging on. Ron, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, Ron, how are you?
How's your cold doing?
You know what? I can't get rid of it, so I'm going to the doctor on Thursday to find out what's really going on with this thing. I went to see her a couple of weeks ago about it, and she told me, well, you know, it must be, and I sound like a cold commercial, it must be post-nasal drip. So I started taking Claritin, hoping that that would clear it up, but it doesn't do any good.
Oh.
I wonder if it's, you know, I'm a hypochondriac, so I wonder if it's signs of a, like something bigger.
I don't know, but if it lasts more than 7 to 10 days, you really should be suspicious of it and really get it checked out, so you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I'm going on Thursday.
That's great. I just had a quick comment on the polls.
Sure.
I don't remember what Talking Head show it was this weekend. I usually start out with Stupinopolis and go through Meet the Press and Hardball and the rest of them.
Me too.
And but they kind of clarified the numbers, and The increase was really among the Republican base because he is still very low, like in the 30s, on independents. And I think he's less than 10% still with Democrats. So the bump in the numbers that really came from the Republican side and nowhere else.
You know, that's interesting because the media, the mainstream media, is playing it as a five point bump upwards.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's not true.
But even among the local stations here in the Denver area, on the local news, they were talking about his bump in the polls, how the American approval rate is going up, as if it's a unified increase.
Really?
They're not ready to. I mean, they don't jump out and say, "Well, it's only among his base." They just like to think it's all across America.
But you know, his base is never going to desert him because they have nowhere else to go.
Well, that's true. A lot of Republicans just blindly vote the party line, regardless of his policies. And, you know, we concentrate a lot on his international policies, but domestically, he's killing us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, domestically, he supports those people who are hellbound to roll back FDR's New Deal, to privatize as much as they possibly can.
Absolutely.
To destroy the separation between church and state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's disgusting what goes on here, and the American people, well, you know, the Democrats are in the minority, so they a lot of times they can't stop any of this stuff.
Exactly, especially like here in Colorado, where they're trying to pass legislation to take a lot of privately held land and federally held land and turn it over for mining,
right.
Drilling, exploration, and everything else like that.
Yeah, I saw that in the Denver Post, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago?
Absolutely, and that's really scary.
It is scary, but I mean, they're Orwellian in their approach. I mean, for instance, the Clean Skies Act, which really means like, okay, go ahead and frickin' pollute all you want. Or the idea that, let's go to an ownership society, which really means let's take public money and stick it in the bank accounts of financial institutions, so they can make like huge profits, holding everybody's money. And then, of course, the other idea is, take what you're supposed to have for Social Security and go play the stock market.
Yes, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors going on here. That's why they talk about the Republicans of being the big tent group and. The group of inclusion, and I think it's not the group of inclusion, it's the group of illusion, because the stuff they're pulling is incredible. The other point I wanted to make is I think the Bush's his just desire to make this exaggeration of the Iraqi troop readiness, I think it's just kind of like it directly supports the suspicions people have about the Bush and Oster's willingness to exaggerate pre-war intelligence, because they're doing the same thing that they did before the war. They're taking information during the war now, and they're exaggerating that. And they don't apologize for it, and they don't come back and correct it after it's pointed out that they're doing it.
Oh, no. You know what? I was going to save this for later on in the show, but I'll give it to you now. There's this article that comes out of the LA Times this morning. Let me quote a little bit of it to you. More than a year before President Bush declared his 2003 State of the Union speech that Iraq had tried to buy nuclear weapons material in Africa, the French spy service began reportedly warning the CIA in secret communications that there was no evidence to support the allegation. Now, this you know this is true. This White House continuously says, oh, but everybody agreed on this stuff. Everybody had the same intelligence. Here's the French trying to tell the White House, hey, man, there's nothing in Niger. Forget it.
Yes. If it was so unified across the world, why didn't the French and the Germans and everybody else jump right in if Saddam was really that dangerous, just like they did when we went into Kuwait?
You know what? I agree. And I'll tell you something else. I'm sick of the Republicans and I'm sick of the right wing continuously saying on a regular basis, oh, but you know, Clinton had the same information. Well,
right.
There's two things. First of all, Clinton rejected a proposal from the Project for the New American Century.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, well, there's actually three. Second of all, Clinton had the Iraqis bottled up so that they couldn't cause any trouble. And the last thing is that Dick Cheney was on Meet the Press, I think it was in 2001, but I'm not sure about the date. And he was on there saying, well, you know, we have the Iraqis pretty well bottled up. I mean, it's either one or the other. Which one was it? You know, suddenly, they're running around on all the talk shows saying, You know, don't let the smoking gun become a mushroom cloud.
Oh, right. I remember that. Yes.
I mean, that's just BS, these people.
That was disgusting.
It was. Hey, Ron, thank you, man. Thanks for getting up so early in the morning.
Well, thank you very much. Have a good day, and I hope your cold gets better fast.
Okay, thanks, Ron. You're really a prince. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, this cold is absolutely... I got to do something about this. What is it? Is it allergies, do you think? Do you think that's what's doing it? There's not much greenery out there, really. Must be allergies is causing this problem. 303-713-7600. I got two lines open here. If you want to jump in this morning, talk about any of the stuff we've talked about. I got a ton of more stuff to talk about this morning, too. But how about that revelation from the French telling the CIA that Niger information was bogus? And, of course, Rove remains under a cloud of investigation in the Valerie Plame incident. Wouldn't it be juicy if Rove got indicted? I mean, that's enough for me to, like, stay out and be drunk for a week. 6:30 on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Let's get progressive traffic now with Bailey.
Well, thanks, Jay. We are seeing some trouble right now. Eastbound I-70, have a rollover accident just past Brighton Boulevard, so lots of emergency crews are on scene. Only the left lane's getting through right now, and heavy jams back to Pecos, and those are growing pretty fast. Stop on I-25, filling in on the north end of town, getting busy from 84th Avenue down to the Turnpike, then it opens up for your ride into downtown and through T-Rex. The Turnpike itself, 225 and C-470, all in great shape so far and around town. Things still pretty quiet, but starting to pick up again on Highway 93, the Diagonal and Foothills Parkway. And checking out the fork.
The world has been good to Fisher Investments. We've experienced tremendous growth for decades. Now we want to give something back. So we're offering a new no-cost or obligation report to people who won't ever be our clients. Maybe you. It's called the 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make. Although at Fisher Investments we do business only with high net worth folks and institutions, we're happy to share these key insights with investors. Our experience managing $25 billion for millionaires and pensions has given us valuable insight. Insight that can help you quickly identify and hopefully sidestep mistakes most investors make. The worst and most costly ones. So request your free copy of the 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make today. No charge and no sales pitch. The world has been good to us, and now we want to give back. It's not just our desire, it's our responsibility. For your free report, call 1-800-771-3464. That's 1-800-771-3464. 1-800-771-3464.
Thinking about what to serve at your business lunch or holiday affair? You can put out a tray of cold cuts and cube cheese and no one will think any less of you. Or you can have your guests ask where all the delicious food came from. Invite Tin Star to your next party and add some sizzle, smoke, and salsa. Choose homemade chips, roasted salsa, grilled vegetable quesadilla, or a gourmet soft taco platter. Find out more about the Tin Star party platters and box lunches at tinstar.us or click on the banner in the player now. Tin Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at riptidehosting.com.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
Thank you.
to righties everywhere. J. Marvin, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
6:27, 27 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. Sunny today, a high of 50. How can you beat that? Good morning to run down your Sixth Amendment right. And they're also destroying the Sixth Amendment right to anybody who's incarcerated because of alleged, quote-unquote, terrorist connections. Disgusting. Let's go to James in Westminster. James, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, James, how are you?
Hey, yeah, I was going to say, I'd like to preface this with I'm glad to see that we have now an outlet for progressive opinions on the radio, being that, you know, we've been inundated with the right-wing garbage for years and years and years on the radio. So, and also, like I say, I'd like to agree with you. Typically, one of the things that, you're a little quizzical and was in agreement with an industrial engineer who had called in on Friday. About this Gary Barnett situation, and why would you know, he would keep getting paid these phenomenal amounts of money, you know, quote unquote, and you know, I could see where, you know, there's an underlying theme that goes along with that, and I just wanted to highlight it.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, something that that I see with the so-called progressives is that there's a position that's taken that that's surprising that these so-called sports stars and individuals are overpaid, and you know, I just want to highlight something about that. See, here's the issue. You know, someone like Gary Barnett can pack a stadium. An industrial engineer who has a nice, cushy, you know, suburban lifestyle from northwestern Colorado, who's probably pretty good at what he does. No one's interested in what he. No one's interested in that. I can go find 500 Indians who make $8 an hour who are just as smart and just as good as he is. So we can start with that. So that's why.
Well, wait a minute. I don't follow that.
Well,
what do you mean you can get 500 Indians?
Oh yeah, or somebody from the Philippines or from China, you know, that are just as learned and capable of doing the same skill set that fellow was, right? He's not that good at what he does. That's why, you know, someone who's interested in watching Carmelo Anthony to pay $10 million or $15 million to watch Peyton Manning and not interested in some individual who sounds fairly learned and intelligent on the phone who's, you know, degrading someone else's skill set.
Yeah, you know? Well, you know what the shame of that is, though? The shame of that is if you look at math scores around this country, if you look at math scores particularly in the state of Colorado, and you look at the fact that there are a lot of students struggling and that some, particularly on the low end of the economic scale, you know, if they do finish high school, they finish with lower grades, or maybe they don't finish at all. You know, the underlying thing I think here is it's really, to me, unbelievable. I hate to use that term, unbelievable. To me, I have no understanding of this, of the importance of sports. And the fact is that you're right. You know, a Gary Barnett can fill a stadium. You know, if that's the most important thing going on, and the fact that most of the cable news channels and a lot of the talk shows deal with vacuous information when they don't really concentrate or we don't really give due to the things that are really, really important in this society because they're important because they have to do with this country's future.
I don't disagree, but also something else, too, is that, you know, sports are extremely important. They've been an important thread of, you know, culture. They've been an important thread of culture, you know, throughout the century.
What kind of important thread?
What kind of important thread?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a, you know, it's how can I say it's a tribal binding that that we've managed to maintain and carry over.
I
think it's pop intellectualism. I think it's
a tribal binding. Does that mean, like, for instance, if you're you know the situation that the Rockies are in, where their attendance is declining? Does that mean that the tribe is coming unglued?
Well, yeah, maybe it is.
The shame of the thing is we should have tribal binding over the greatness of America, not tribal binding over some stupid sports team.
Well, why is it perfectly okay for some pencil neck geeks at a company like Google to make $5 million a year, or Katie Couric or Rush Limbaugh to make $30 million a year?
Who said that? Who said that it was okay?
Well, I mean, it's the same individuals that are implying that since those individuals are not intellectuals, that are not that well-learned or that well-educated, that therefore, you know, they shouldn't be making this money, you know? Like I said, I can go find 500 guys from India that are industrial engineers.
You know what? I'll go back to what I said before. It doesn't deal with the fact that they shouldn't be making the money. It deals with the fact that it's damn disgusting that the most important thing going on in this country to some people and the most important thing happening is a sports team.
I'll be honest with you. I think it's failed racism is what it is.
Well, what does failed racism have to do with it?
Because it's perfectly okay for other individuals and other in other industries, you know, if you're quote-unquote learned, right, you know, to make all the money in the world that they're allowed to.
What are you saying? There are no learned African Americans. There are no learned Hispanics.
That was the implication that fellow was making. All of the guys that he was listening to barely could speak.
You
were in agreement with him.
No, you know what? He wasn't making that point, and you're the one that's making that point. And you know the sad thing about it is, it's got nothing to do with race unless you interject it as having to do with race. And it has nothing to do with race. And there's just as many learned African Americans, and there's just as many learned Hispanics, and there's just as many learned of everything out there. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're the one who's injecting race. Thank you for the call. I mean, that's sad that we have to inject race into this. Well, why don't we start talking about the CU Boulder situation with the racist email messages? I mean, it's sad that we have to get into race. You know, nobody said anything about race. And nobody last week said anything about race. Yeah. Let's go to Ron on C-470. Ron, hi. You're on AM-760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That last guy, he's the racist, and he's got some hidden agendas and needs his own tune-up. Whoa.
I agree.
Man. Well, anyway, I got a couple things, Jay, and thanks for my call. By the way, man, you are a light. You just keep on trucking. You and Big Eddie and all the folks are doing it right. So I
Thank
just want to
appreciate
you.
It. Appreciate it.
Here's my comments, and the calls ago really spurred this for me. And, you know, I know we spend a lot of time on Iraq, but our domestic agenda by Bush is a total failure. And let me just give you a couple examples. I've been a lefty, whatever, my whole life. I'm fiscally conservative, but I'm socially liberal, and I have a conscience about our environment. And this guy has raped the environment. He's selling out to his big buddies, and they are slowly ratcheting down the water quality, the air quality. And what's always blown me away, Jay, is you and I are lefties. But the same people that are righties have to breathe the same air that we do. We have to drink the same water that we do. And I've just never understood, when we have one planet, why they would do this. Because it's just the big business, and it's a bottom-line dollar for a lot of these big companies.
I have no idea where they're coming from. There was an article yesterday, I believe it was in the New York Times, about the greenhouse gas question and what was going on in Montreal. And you're right. I mean, this country and the Bush administration wouldn't go along with hardly anything that was being discussed and wanted all of these assurances instead of going in there and going, okay, you know what, we got a greenhouse problem here. We're one of the largest producers of emissions, and we ought to do something about it. And you know what? You got nothing from the Bush administration except that they wanted certain assurances, and you couldn't get the other countries to sign on to it because we wouldn't take any kind of a leadership role in this. And this was the Bush administration that backed out of the Kyoto provisions.
It was absolutely. And the other thing I have, Jay, is, and this has just always just grated me about this guy, this Bush, since my voting days 40-some years ago, I've never seen a president that wouldn't just sit down and apologize. This guy is so arrogant and is so has his trainers. He's so arrogant. He's not apologized in his 5.5 or 6 years in the office about one thing. I can't think of one thing. And that really irritates me, and I can see why most people really don't have any faith in this guy, because part of being a human is you say, you know what, I made a mistake. And if you know one time... apologize. I can't think of a single one.
The closest he came was last week, I believe it was, in that speech he gave, where he said, we've made some mistakes. And you know, what I want to say is, no S, Sherlock. I mean, we've made terrible mistakes. And, Donald Rumsfeld, Vice President Cheney, you know, the Darth Vader of American politics, the Stalin of American politics, and George W. Bush owe this country an apology. You know, if you don't even want to get into the fact of why we're there in Iraq, they owe us an apology because they never plan anything out, and people seem to have forgotten that whole Bush, carrier incident with the victory thing that he, or the combat, operations have ceased BS that he did on that aircraft carrier with the flight suit.
Absolutely, and you know when you, about a half hour ago, you mentioned about the polls jumping a little bit up, but you know what that is? That's a few of his blind followers, or they're just kind of out there, and then they swing back and forth, but for the majority... nobody's buying this. I mean, first of all, the man can't even speak. Like I said before, and we've talked before, without a little bug in his ear or a teleprompter, he can't extemporaneously speak. He's got to be the most least bright president we've ever had. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that a man with those qualities is our leader.
I'm
embarrassed.
You know, and I think the rest of the world's embarrassed for us. Thanks, Ron. Drive safe.
Thank you, Jay.
Okay,
bye-bye.
We'll talk to you. Our president, George W. Bush. And just think, we have three more years of this misery. 303-713-7600. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll talk about the racist email at CU.
Tuesdays. Look in Tuesday's Post News Classified section for dealers and details. Quantities are limited. The Denver Post.
He's making a list and checking it twice. And Freedom Harley-Davidson could be delivering your ultimate present this Christmas. On Christmas Eve, Freedom Harley-Davidson on West Colfax is giving away a new 2005 Sportster. But you must get registered this Thursday between 6 and 8 p.m. No purchase necessary. Just stop by for free food and beverages this Thursday and drop your name in the drawing. You could get exactly what you want for Christmas. A new Harley from Freedom Harley-Davidson. For more info, click on the Freedom Harley-Davidson logo on your screen right now. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and Stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On Demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with On Demand and Stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month, applies to digital silver with Stars. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Restricted supply not available in all areas.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Every holiday, to our dismay, we worry about our size. So this year, combine your shopping with some good aerobic exercise. You'll find 300 stores in our 16 blocks, what's more? You can dine and drink, then skate our rink, burn off that petty four. For gifts and food and play, you'll be shaping up to say, it's a merry Cherry Creek North holiday.
Firecracker chicken, and don't forget to bring the kids because ages 4 to 10 eat for only $2.99, and ages 3 and under eat free. So this is a great place to take the family after you've been out doing some Christmas or Hanukkah shopping or Kwanzaa shopping. Bojo's is fun for the whole family, so come on in. This offer good Monday through Friday throughout the holidays. Bojo's in Highlands Ranch at University and C-470 in Arvada, at 78 and Wadsworth in Denver. That's the one Mary and I go to. At South Colorado Boulevard in Yale, and in the Old Town, Fort Collins and College and Mountain. Or check them out online at bojos.com. That's Bojo's. And where did I say we went? Did I say we went to 78th and Wadsworth in Denver? No, we go to the one on South Colorado Boulevard in Yale. I wanted to clear that up. Bojo's got the greatest pizza. And you know what? It's a good thing about more torture being found in Iraq. I mean, you talk about un-American. That's un-American. Let's go to Aaron in Parker. Aaron, hi. You're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, Jay. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
Sorry, I'm calling from a cell phone. So I just have a little story. I was the other day in school. We were sitting at lunch, and people at my lunch table, we usually talk about politics and stuff. And we were talking, and one of my friends at my table said that they didn't like Bush. And I was like, yeah, I don't like him either. And so then this other girl at my table was like, you guys know that's unpatriotic, right? And I was like, why is that unpatriotic? And she was just telling us that she didn't like Bush either, but she said that it's wrong to talk bad about the president and stuff.
Well, you know, I'd respond by saying it's the most American thing to do, to engage in a debate over policy and the fact that, listen, we don't all have to like the president of the United States. He's not a dictator.
Yeah, I know. And then I was telling her about, like, how it's in the First Amendment that we have the right to petition the government, freedom of speech.
There you go. And what did she say to that?
She just didn't really say anything.
Well, the next time somebody labels you as being unpatriotic, what you can do is tell them to go read a book on Joe McCarthy. I'm big on this because I just got finished reading this whole big book about him. But, I mean, tell them to go read a book about Joe McCarthy, because let me tell you, the GOP, and I don't know if this is the right word or not, the antecedents of the GOP, or their history, you trace it back, it comes out of McCarthyism, the idea that, and back, you know, before you were ever born, I mean, during the, you know, Cold War period, they used to say to people, well, you must be a communist because you don't agree with us. And now the big thing is you're unpatriotic and you're undercutting support for the troops. And you know what it is? That's just smearing and a way to control dissent. So tell your friend to go, hey, read a book about Joe McCarthy, wise up. That's what you ought to do.
Okay.
All right, Aaron?
Hey, all right.
Hey, stand proud for your views.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Have a good day in school. I used to get that in school, too, because I was one of the quintessential outsiders. So I'd always say that. And then, you know, the kids would get on your case about that. All right, you're probably happy that somebody assassinated JFK. You're probably happy. Because you know what? I didn't understand the Cuban Missile Crisis. So I didn't understand what was going on there. And the whole thing when I was a kid. The whole thing. Let's go to Arlene in Castle Rock. Arlene, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Jay?
Yes, I'm right here.
I may go through the dead zone going up to school. I'm an English teacher.
Oh, good for you.
And I drive about 40 miles each day to my school. And I'm incredibly unhappy there. We've had a change of administration, and I would love to get a $3 million buyout.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, as public school teacher for Denver, we don't get very much in the way of raises, and they think this year it ended up for me a negative raise by the time they took out health insurance, so that I'm making less than I did before.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
But we're expected to, our contract says a 40-hour week, and I don't know a teacher who works a 40-hour week. And then they tell us, well, what were you expecting? You're expected to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. But that's not the contract. And then when we have either a duty or a planning, we frequently have to cover classes because Denver can't get substitutes. And so that's a six-period class, and that's an additional work. And a lot of people say, oh, but you have the summers off. They calculate our pay if we go over our 6 days and dock us based on a full school, on a full 365 day year. And when we're on, technically you know, they say we're salaried, but technically we're paid per diem. And they now have the ability to dock us by the hour. And God forbid, you know, they make us sign in at some of the schools. And God forbid you show up a little bit after, even if you're in the building, but you don't get to the sign-in sheet. They pull it, and then you get kind of like a reprimand for it. Or, well, not a reprimand. That's a formal word in DPS. But a note, you know, you failed to sign in today. We need you here by this, that, and the other time, regardless of whether they know whether you're there or not. And, you know, I would really like a $3 million. I'd take $1 million payout easily.
I agree with you. And that's what I was trying to say to that one caller until he, you know, had to pull the race card. I mean, I'm not saying that there's not racism or sexism in this society, because there is. But, you know, the idea that the most important figures to some people, to a lot of people in this society, is somebody who can run with a football or hit a baseball. And the fact that somebody like you, who goes and shapes young minds and teaches English, you know, I mean, your status is less than that, and your pay is low. I mean, that's wrong. How about teaching English? Is that a hard thing to teach kids English?
Have you seen their writing?
Well, no, yeah. I've been out of school for a long, long time, and it was hard to teach me English, except I love to read. But I used to rebel and only read what I wanted to. Is it hard? Is it what do you teach literature too, or do you just teach writing?
I teach literature and I teach writing, and they're not separate classes. One is literature and composition, and one is just contemporary literature. And it's like pulling teeth to get the kids to read classic literature. You can may as well give up on that. But there are some books out there that they'll read. And I'm talking about the everyday kind of non-reading, I'm not interested in reading kind of student. I'm not talking about, you know, they're college bound, but they're still not interested in doing the work. And they tell you, I have work after school, I'm tired after school, I have things to do. And the athletes, we won't even go that way, but we, you know, these kids don't get it. In a lot of ways,
no,
that they really have to have the communication skills, and they don't realize that this is going to get them further, and it's very hard. And I sponsor an organization that takes kids to Washington, D.C. I can't even get people to donate to help take them kids.
That's sad.
You know, and so they probably won't go. They get some scholarship money, and we fundraise some money, but it doesn't come up to very much. And it's really hard.
That's sad. Well, you know what? Just make sure, and I don't know if it's on the curriculum or not, but just make sure your students read 1984.
I get Fahrenheit 451 stuck in. I don't have any copies of 1984.
Are you
That's
kidding?
Nothing.
Are you kidding me?
Well, no, we have a hard time. See, paperbacks are disposables, and when they fall apart, a lot of time we don't get, but our budget for our department was cut 20% this year from last year. Because the principal felt that he could spend it better. So we got a case of paper from our department. I've already bought two more cases of paper.
They
gave us the second case.
I don't mean to cut you off. I'm running out of time, but that's sad. Every kid should read 1984. Thank you, and hang in there, Arlene. We love you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. And we love all teachers, even though I gave them hell in school. Okay, coming up next, we're going to talk to Paul Rykoff, director and founder of Operation Truth. There's a new story about Iraqi abuse to prisoners, and we're going to talk about prisoner abuse and torturing coming up.
I'm Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
CBS News. I'm Steve Futterman, live near San Quentin Prison. 18 hours from now, Stanley Tukey Williams, the co-founder of the Crips Street Gang, is set to be put to death. The question is, will it take place? Protesters chanted outside Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's church. The governor may be Williams' last best hope to avoid execution. He's still considering a request for clemency. Authorities in Los Angeles hope there will be no problem should the execution take place. Reverend Kerry Ostlund.
We are calling for calm, just in case there's people that want to exploit this situation, want to go out and cause violence on our streets.
Meanwhile, inside the prison, everything is set to carry out the execution. Tukey Williams has already been moved to a special holding cell near the death chamber. I'm Steve Futterman, live near San Quentin Prison. Now with more CBS News, here's Frank Sidipani.
Two dead, dozens injured, everyone else evacuated after a nursing home fire in Ishpeming, Michigan, 360 miles north of Detroit. The fire broke out a little after midnight, but neighbor Sharon Griffith says fire trucks, ambulances, and other emergency vehicles were there in minutes.
It was a magnificent response. I mean, I didn't even know we had that many service vehicles around here.
Authorities say they don't know how that fire started. Most Iraqis go to the polls Thursday, but the security forces will be guarding them, are casting their ballots today.
They marched into this camp in Ramadi to cast their ballots, and many of them sang and chanted that they will defeat terrorists. Their commander says he believes they will be able to secure polling places on Thursday, and he believes more voters will cast ballots. Voter turnout was in the single digits in Anbar province during the last election.
CBS's Cammie McCormick in Ramadi. Why do hospitals reuse throwaway medical devices? CBS's Peter King has the answer from Orlando.
Well, they say it's to save cash and reduce waste and that reconditioned goods are as good as new. The FDA says hospitals don't have to tell patients about them. Susan Van Dyne of Winter Haven, Florida says they're taking a big chance.
We're going to have re-sterilized equipment that isn't necessarily clean. Isn't necessarily sterile.
Her son suffered brain damage after receiving a rebuilt breathing tube. Now he needs a feeding tube. Original product makers say one-time use equipment can break after recycling and cleaning. Live in Orlando, Peter King, CBS News.
2 years after it slammed the door at American beef because of a mad cow scare, Japan's easing the import ban. Patty Brumbach's with the Washington State Beef Commission.
I would say it's a great Christmas present for America's beef producers.
And American steaks and burgers could reach Japanese dinner tables within 10 days. If you went to the movies this week, Ken, you may have noticed the big crowds for the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
My name is Tumnus.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Tumnus. I'm Lisa Pevensey.
And the film, adapted from the C.S. Lewis story, racked up ticket sales of more than $67 million. S&P futures are up 4 points. This is CBS News.
Waiting for that warm holiday feeling? Try bundling up at CompUSA. Right now, get a Toshiba Satellite Notebook featuring an Intel Celeron M Processor 360 for under $400. Then get a D-Link wireless networking card for free. Bundle up and save at CompUSA. We got it. We get it. Offers valid when you sign up for 12 months of AOL service on a new account in-store and after mail-in rebates. Early termination fees and other restrictions apply. Quantities limited. Pricing may vary in Connecticut. See store for details.
If you're an adult age 65 and up, you've probably heard about the new prescription drug benefits available to you with the new Medicare Part D. You've probably also got a lot of questions. Your Save-On and Osco pharmacists have answers. With your questions resolved, you can begin to review and choose the best options for you. Enrollment is from November 15, 2005 through May 15, 2006. Before you choose a person health, Save-On and Osco pharmacies.
News this hour brought to you by Men's Warehouse.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Four crews have cleared a roller bar accident east on I-70 just past Brighton Boulevard. All lanes are reopened, but expect some pretty hefty jams from Fidrell on over. Now, southbound I-25, seeing the usual slowing on the north end of town. It's busy from 104th down to the turnpike, then it opens up just a little bit, only to slow down again as you head into downtown. Now, the turnpike, looking at brake lights eastbound from Fidrell over to Pecos. 225 also stacking up now from Parker Road into the Tech Center and around town. Things are busy on Arapahoe, Broadway, and Baseline. Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 93. Also starting to run heavy. Checking out the forecast, going to be pretty nice.
Holiday season with a gift card from Albertsons. Give a gift, get a gift. It's easy. Only at Albertsons, helping make your life easier.
Jay Marvin, Al Franken, Ed Schultz, Randy Rose, The Majority Report, and Mike Malloy. This is AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
AKCN Thornton Boulder. AM 760.
The real story. 24/7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ed Schultz, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhodes, 48, the best.
Because
pharmacists have answers, so you can choose the best option for you. So come in today and get the answers you need at Save-On and Osco Pharmacies.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
7:06, 6 minutes after 7 a.m., 760 Boulder's Progressive Talk. High today of around 50 and sunshine to boot. All right, Paul Rykoff is the executive director and founder of Operation Truth. Paul is enlisted in the U.S. Army back in 1998. and served a tour of duty in Iraq, lasting from April 2003 to February 2004. During that time, Paul was a first lieutenant and served as an infantry platoon leader. Infantry platoon leader in the 3rd Infantry in the 1st Armored Divisions. Paul's platoon conducted over 1,000 dismounted and mounted combat patrols and was centered in the Adamalia, I'll ask Paul about this, section of Baghdad. Paul, welcome to the program. How do you pronounce that?
It's called Adamia, Jay.
Adamia. Okay, good to have you on the program. First of all, before we get into the whole thing about torture, and there's a new story out this morning that abuse has been, this is from the Washington Post, abuse has been cited in a second jail operated by an Iraqi ministry. Do you think the elections are going to turn things around there?
No, I don't think so. I think it's another really artificial benchmark for the White House to look toward. And it's really funny because it's the last one we're going to have in a while. But you know, we heard things were going to turn around after we caught Saddam. We heard things were going to turn around after we changed over power. We heard things were going to turn around after the last election. And the reality is we've never locked down the security situation in Iraq for the Iraqi people. So until we can do that, until we can make life safe for them, we're really not going to see any significant turning points in Iraq, I think.
Do you think that Bush is going to give another speech today about 11:15 in the morning our time? Do you think he adequately explains the administration's position on Iraq? Do you walk away with any sense of understanding what victory is supposed to be?
No, not at all. Not at all. And we hear that, you know, what we're looking for is victory in Iraq. Well, we need to know what that looks like. What is our end state? And how do you analyze that? How do you look at it? How do you look at it on paper and try to, you know, tell your friend when we get here, we're going home? There are no metrics for success. We don't know if it's, you know, 80% oil production or 60% electric production or the death rate lowered to whatever. It's just a moving ball that he's never really been able to be clear on. And I think it's in large part because he just doesn't know. There are no conceivable metrics by which we can judge success in Iraq. And that's coming from people like Chuck Hagel, a Republican, not just people like Michael Moore and Cindy Sheehan. So we've really got to hold him to task here and try to nail down, how do we know if we're winning? You know, how do we know when we're done? How do we know when we can come home? And how long is that going to take? Because that's the thing he really doesn't want to get pinned to right now is being honest with the American people about how long he thinks this whole thing will take in Iraq.
7:09, 9 minutes after 7 on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Paul Rykoff, executive director and founder of Operation Truth. You can find him on the web at OperationTruth.org. All right, let's get into this. OpTruth.org. I'm sorry. Let's get into this whole the subject of torture, not only done by the CIA, but what's going on what's going on in Iraq, where this morning in the Washington Post there's an article, an Iraqi government search of a detention center in Baghdad operated by Interior Ministry Special Commandos found 13 prisoners who had suffered abuse serious enough to require medical treatment. This is according to U.S. and Iraqi officials. They said this on Sunday night. Plus, we have the CIA and we have the administration denying that we have these prison sites in Eastern Europe where we're waterboarding these people and torturing them. And I know you're coming together with the Center for American Progress to launch a campaign against this. Talk some about that.
Well, the bottom line is that torture doesn't work. It's un-American, and in many ways it's flat out stupid. And the administration has not come out against torture. They want to leave this door open to have the option of torturing people under our flag. And it's really a horrible message to be sending to the rest of the world. And John McCain is leading the fight here to ban torture and set clear guidelines for our troops on what is in bounds and what is not. What can they do and what can't they do? And let's put it in the Army manual. And it went through the Senate 90-9, has been supported by everybody from Madeleine Albright to Colin Powell. Yet the administration, especially the vice president, opposed it. And it's really ridiculous. And at the end of the day, the thing that bothers me the most as a veteran is that I know that it puts me in harm's way. It puts my soldiers in harm's way on the ground in Iraq when the enemy knows that we torture people. It just doesn't work. And it allows them the opportunity to, God forbid, if one of us are captured, torture us as well.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham, who's a Republican, made a statement about this, I believe it was on Meet the Press this Sunday, about the fact that if we do it, then if our soldiers are captured, not only on the ground in Iraq, but by any other country, let's say North Korea, any country that's hostile towards us, and they say, well, you do it, why can't we do it? Doesn't that sets a dangerous precedent, doesn't it?
It does, and you're right. Lindsey Graham is right on the money, and Lindsey Graham should know, actually, because he's in the Air Force Reserve. He's one of the only, I think he's the only senator right now who still is in the reserves or guard. So he's still connected to the world of the military, and he's absolutely right. If it's okay for us, it's okay for them. And let me throw in another piece here that doesn't get touched on much. When the enemy knows that you torture, when the enemy knows that the American public has the opportunity to have torture in their arsenal, they're going to fight harder. And that dying breath, when they're on the battlefield, and they're thinking about whether or not to storm the hill and fight that American troop or fight that American tank or fight that American Bradley, in the back of their head, if they think that we treat them well, they might give up. And that's something that people don't take into account. It's something that I was taught when I went through the military, and it's something that I taught my soldiers. I said, this is one of the big reasons why we abide by the Geneva Convention, why we don't torture, is because they'll give up more easily. And that's an important factor in our favor on the battlefield that we're losing right now.
When you went through training, when you went through basic training and the training that you received after that, did the military specifically talk to you about the Geneva Conventions?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But here's where the problem is. Is that the guidelines are not specific enough for the average American soldier on what they can do and what they can't do. And I got to tell you one thing, that most American soldiers over there don't spend a lot of time with detainees, don't spend a lot of time with Iraqis who were bound or who were imprisoned or whatever the situation may be. But for the ones that do, they're already overextended. Our military is dramatically overextended, and they're undertrained to deal with situations like this. We've got to give them as clear guidelines as it's humanly possible so that we don't have situations like Abu Ghraib, so that they can accurately communicate to their subordinates what it is that's expected of them. And that's really, at the end of the day, what we're looking for here is absolute and total clarity. So when little Sergeant Johnny from Kansas goes to Iraq, he knows what the heck he's supposed to be doing and what he's not.
Yeah, if we'd had these clear guidelines set out, perhaps Abu Ghraib wouldn't have happened.
Well, it certainly would have helped. And I think, you know, there were a number of other factors that contributed to Abu Ghraib as well. You know, some of the soldiers over there were in charge of hundreds of different detainees. They didn't have proper equipment. They didn't have proper guidance. You know, there were contractors and other government agencies involved there that really mucked up their chain of command and made it unclear who was in charge. You know, it's one of those situations where you want to set your soldiers up for success. You don't want to set them up for failure. And by opening this can of worms with torture, you do set them up for failure. And we've seen so far that when these situations do come about, the only ones that have really been held accountable are the lower-level enlisted. You don't see the policymakers. You haven't seen anybody in a suit go down as a result of Abu Ghraib. It's only been a couple of enlisted soldiers who were left holding the bag. So, you know, it goes all the way up to the highest levels of accountability to really talk about what is our policy, what makes sense. At the end of the day, this is the most important part, what works. And torture does not work. You don't get usable intelligence from torturing people. They'll give you anything you want in order to make the pain stop. And John McCain himself has said that. He spent 5 years in jail as a POW in Vietnam, and he knows what he's talking about. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I think the Al-Libi case points to that, too, where in order to escape harsh punishment, this guy, Sheikh Al-Libi, just told the CIA what they wanted to, you know, he just made stuff up in order to get out of being tortured and beat up. And it turned out to be that he gave bogus information about the training between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. He said, you know, they said that the CIA said it was discredited information.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I was taught how to deal with being a potential prisoner or prisoner of war. And the thing they used to always say is everybody bends. It's just a matter of how much you're going to bend and what you're going to give them. You don't want to give them anything usable. But you want to give them something so that they don't kill you, so you don't become useless. And John McCain talks about that extensively as well. And, you know, people really need to understand that this is about our international image. This is about what little kids around the world think of America. And when they wake up tomorrow morning, do they think we're good people or do they think we're bad people? And when we say torture is okay, we look like crap to the rest of the world. And that's a horrible thing. It makes me feel sick in my stomach to know that people around the world right now may be thinking that about our country because our president can't stand up and show the world that our proper face. Torture is not an American fundamental value. We need to let the rest of the world know that. And that's why it's also important that people get involved and support this campaign. If you go to the website, tortureisnotus.org, you can see the campaign, you can get involved, you can tell your friends about it, and you can make sure that the McCain Amendment goes forward, and we push back against the president on this one.
All right, so give the website again.
tortureisnotus.org, or you can go to operationtruth.org as well, and you can learn more about our campaign with the Center for American Progress. Find out, you know, why is torture not work? Why does it not make sense? You can see all the people, again, ranging from John McCain to Madeleine Albright to Colin Powell, who have supported this amendment. The president's really on an island on this one. Surprising, surprise, right? Here we go again. But the president's on an island here, and the rest of the world and the rest of the country is really against his ideology on this topic. And the American public really needs to get involved and let the White House know where they stand on this issue.
Yeah, one last question here at 17 minutes after 7. Why do you think George W. Bush and Dick Cheney are bubble boys over this?
You know, maybe they think it works. Maybe they've actually been told that they need this in the back of their arsenal just in case. But you know what? Even if you do think that, don't tell the whole world. I mean, it just seems absurd to me that not only do they want the option to do it, but they want to tell the whole world that they have the option to do it. No matter how you cut it, it just seems like a stupid plan from where I stand. And again, as a veteran and as a soldier, I think we need to maintain the moral high ground as a country. And it's very hard to do when your president doesn't openly say that America does not torture.
All right. Paul Rykoff, thank you for your service to this country, to our country. And you're a true patriot, and I appreciate you being on the program.
My pleasure, sir. Thanks for giving us some time. We really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you very much. There's Paul Rykoff, director and founder of Operation Truth. If you want to find out more about this anti-torture campaign, go to optruth.org. And it's something that we should all get involved in, because this idea of torturing other human beings, you know, number one, it doesn't work, as you heard Paul Rykoff, and we've had numerous other people on this program who have said the same thing. It doesn't work. And then the other thing is, and you know, this is a big thing, it's just plain un-American. It's just wrong. 7:18, 18 minutes after 7 on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. Coming up, we'll talk about CU and these racist emails. By the way, you can also go to tortureisnotus.org, too. I should throw that website in. 7:18, 18 minutes after 7.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
You leave. They really enjoy what they do, and they're really dedicated to taking care of you, the customer. And Rockies has got a large selection. I mean, over 500 vehicles, clean, late model used cars, trucks, minivans, and SUVs. Boy, you're looking for an SUV, they have got some great looking SUVs out there. And at Rockies Autos, as I said, they go the extra mile to make sure that you're happy. They're family-owned and operated. Been that way since 1982. And they're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. So get out there when you can. And I'll tell you what you can do. You can go to RockiesAutos.com, check out the inventory for yourself, pre-qualify for a car loan, zip on out to Rockies, and pick the automobile that you've picked up off the Internet. So, and they got a great site, RockiesAutos.com. Explains everything about Rockies there. And don't forget that every car is equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. And, yep, there's Carfax out there. It'll show you everything you need to know about the car you're interested in. Rockies Autos. Check them out on the Internet or see them in person. And I'll be out there this week. I think I'm going out there on Wednesday. Tuesday or Wednesday. So maybe I'll run.
7 Kids 313 and be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
This is Ed Schultz wishing you a very happy holiday season from all of us at AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 7:23, 23 minutes after 7. High today, 50 degrees under plenty of sunshine. AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Thanks so much for joining me. Jay Marvin here, and it's nice to have you along. Ooh, Steve Earle. We should have had Steve Earle on about the Tukey Williams situation. Earle is an anti-capital punishment activist. And we'll get into this whole story about Tukey Williams, who is scheduled to die at 1 minute after midnight Pacific time tomorrow night if the Gropinator Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't give him clemency. But I want to talk about the story in the Rocky Mountain News this morning. And the last time I talked about racism at CU, I got this angry email from this African-American woman about how I had understated racism in America. And I made the comment that I know that racism exists. I mean, I've witnessed it. I've seen people who have made racist comments. Certainly, most of the places I've worked, if you make a racist or sexist comment towards another employee, chances are you're going to get blown out. They're going to fire you. They have sensitivity training. I went through it, I think it was last year. Lasted for like 4 or 5 hours. Company did a good thing, though. They provided lunch. But we had to go through all this and all this role-playing. And you know something? At first, I was cynical about going to it. I thought, you know, I don't really want to sit here and do this. And I'm not, I'm not racist. And I know I'm not racist. And, that's the one thing I've never engaged in. I mean, since I've been a kid, I've just never engaged in it. We were taught in my household, as dysfunctional as my household is or was, we were taught, that racism, like, wasn't a good thing. And that you weren't supposed to do it. And I remember when I was a little teeny kid, I picked up from other kids, not really knowing what it was. I came home and I used the N-word. And my mother washed my mouth out with soap and gave me a couple of swats and said, don't do it again. It's not right. We also had a housekeeper who helped my parents because both of them worked. And she was engaged in an interracial marriage. So, I mean, it just didn't matter to us. But I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist, because I know it exists out there. I know that it does. But there's a story this morning in the Rocky Mountain News. A University of Colorado cross-country runner who received a racist email last week said he was satisfied with the athletic department's decision to suspend a football player accused of helping to write the message. They did the right thing, Greg Castro said Sunday about the action taken against defensive tackle Clint O'Neill. Castro, who is Hispanic, received an email December 4th, allegedly written by O'Neill and his girlfriend, Jacqueline Ziegler, it's Jacqueline Ziegler, I believe, in which Castro was called a river rat, a border hopper, and a bean-eating piece of... And then I can't say the rest. Ziegler, who is from Utah, and O'Neill, who is from Texas, are both white. Castro said the email did little to bolster the status of the school's athletic program, which has already suffered from a football recruiting scandal, and last week's ouster of football coach Gary Barnett. I'm reading here from the Rocky Mountain News article. Putting on a CU uniform is a privilege, Castro said. It's an honor to wear black and gold. In a statement released Sunday, athletic director Michael Bond said Ziegler, a CU runner, notified the department that she will no longer be associated with the cross-country track programs and had quit for personal reasons. Michael Bond said that he suspended O'Neill, a senior, for violation of team and athletic department rules. He did not mention the email in his statement. Castro, who's a sophomore, said he didn't know O'Neill, who is a 6'6", 305-pound tackle. But he had heard that that Ziegle invoked her boyfriend's name to threaten others. Castro acknowledged that he and Ziegle didn't get along, largely because he said she tried to implicate him in a cheating scandal in a mass media class they took together last year. But he said he was surprised at just how bitter she was towards him. "I'm still baffled by why she wrote what she did," he said. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. Do you think this guy, Clint O'Neill, this tackle, this offensive tackle, because of what he did, along with his girlfriend, do you think a suspension is enough? Or do you think he should have been booted from the team altogether? And once again, I say this with the caveat of not being a sports enthusiast. But I'm going to tell you something. Working in private industry, particularly in the broadcast field, and I can remember a day when we didn't have African-American managers. We did not have even women as managers. That's how far this business has come since 1972, 73, when I first got in it. My last general manager was an African-American. But we went through that sensitivity training. I'll tell you something. I know that if anybody had pulled a racist stunt at any of the places I've worked, and I confess to you, I don't know what the policy here is, but you know something? I believe that even the policy here, I believe you get blown out. I don't think they would suspend you. I think they'd blow you out. So my question at 303-713-7600 here this morning is, did CU do the right thing in suspending this offensive tackle, Clint O'Neill, or should he have been bounced from the school for what he did, for sending racist emails? Should he be bounced? Or is a mere suspension enough? 303-713-7600. And I'm interested in how you feel about this. Because my initial feeling is, and I could be totally wrong, but my initial feeling, and you know what, if you want to take me to task for this, and I'm not like George W. Bush, I'll admit I'm wrong, and have admitted on many occasions on this show that I'm wrong. My feeling is, you know what, I wouldn't want to associate with this guy, and that's number one. I wouldn't want him on my football team, that's number two. And number three, I demand that he be dismissed. I would go to the head of the athletic department, and I would say, hey, I go to Michael LeBond and say, hey, man, I don't want to play with this guy. Because you know what? Do you want to associate with people like that? Do you want to associate with people like that in your professional or your private life? Your private life? I wouldn't. 303-713-7600, 730 to AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Let's look at progressive traffic now with Bailey.
Well, thanks, Jay. We're dealing with a couple issues right now. More trouble for eastbound I-70. Watch for a couple cars tangled up. They're blocking a left lane and shoulder right before Pecos. Then northbound 225, seeing a slow go from Parker Road. That's because of a three-car crash that's been also on the left shoulder just north of Islip. Now, if you're coming out of the Thornton North Glen area, southbound I-25, seeing the usual jams between 104th and the Turnpike. Then we're slow into downtown and through T-Rex. And northbound I-25. Have a new lane shift that's taken people by surprise right around Colorado Boulevard, so expect a slow go right around that area. Now around town, we're crowded on Highway 93, the Diagonal and Foothills Parkway, the Turnpike looking at brake lights eastbound from Federal over to Pecos, and checking out the forecast. Sunny today, highs in the
time of this holiday season with a gift card from Albertsons. Give a gift, get a gift. It's easy. Only at Albertsons, helping make your life easier.
Hey, do you consider yourself a great poker player? Want to test your skills against the likes of Rob Blake, Dan Hino, John Michael Lyles, and Brad May? Then join Amber Holmes for the second annual Full House Celebrity Poker Tournament on Saturday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Amber Holmes specializes in affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes, and they're proud to help local Denver charities through this annual Celebrity Poker Tournament. For more information or to register as a player, log on to amberholmes.com. Amber Holmes, a higher standard.
Our rainbow is broad. We're the United Church of Christ. Find a church near you at stillspeaking.com or ucc.org.
You can now get up on the left side of the bed. J. Marvin on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
7:34, 26 minutes away from 8 o'clock, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. High today of around 50, plenty of sunshine out there, too. Good day to get out and Christmas shop. Speaking of Christmas shopping, I just found out the producer of this show, John Turk, intends to get his wife, Stacy, absolutely nothing for Christmas. Nice guy. So when everybody goes down to the tree, right, and opens up all their presents, she won't have a damn thing. I'm going to have to send her something. You know what, though? You're lucky. The present I gave you is good for both of you. Not just you.
I'll just re-gift it to Stacy.
You know what? That is like so low. Don't you?
I mean, I'm gonna get my wife something. I'm not gonna be empty-handed. It's just not gonna be as big as it has in the last few years, or as expensive as it has been.
Yeah, take my gift and give it. You know what?
Here's a pair of slippers and a CD alarm clock, honey. Love you. Merry Christmas.
You know what? I'll bet you there's people. Before we get these calls about CU, I'll bet you there's people out there who do that. Who take gifts that they're given early, right? Particularly from coworkers or whatever. They don't particularly like them. So they repackage them up and they give them to somebody else who can use it, they think. All right, we're talking about the University of Colorado cross-country runner who received a racist email and the offensive tackle, Clint O'Neill, who just got suspended for it. And my question is that enough or should it get blown out? All right, let's go to the phones and we'll go to Lee in Lafayette. Lee, good morning, and welcome to AM 760.
How are you doing?
Hey, Lee, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. I just read that article in the Colorado Daily on Friday, and my reaction is I don't think it's enough as far as a punishment for what was going on, but it makes sense because in that article I read that, you know, they have all this evidence, the email is there, they know who did it, and just in the judicial system, it's only a misdemeanor and like a $50 fine and maybe like 3 months probation. And so along those lines, it makes sense that it's a lenient punishment from the school, as well as the reputation from the school that they're pretty lacking in their discipline of their players and stuff. So it makes sense in how it's going down, but I disagree that it's not enough, you know, especially from what that email indicated, because in it there was actually threats on him, not just calling
right,
him
yeah.
names.
Yeah.
They're actually saying, I'm going to be on your doorstep and look out for this big hulking guy, and I'm going to introduce you to the devil who is me, and it's a pretty nasty email.
Yeah.
So
here's something I left out. In the email, the author threatened to come find you and drag you behind my
truck.
Well, we can't say that. By my car, a supposed reference to the 1998 incident in which a black man was dragged to his death by three white men in Jasper, Texas.
Right.
You know, because, you know what? I'm with you. And you know, I wonder if the policy, the athletic department policy and the policy of the school is supposed to go along with the judicial policy and the Colorado law. And there are a lot of people across this country, because I've run into them before, who object to the idea of quote-unquote hate laws because they always want to invoke this First Amendment free speech thing. And I'm kind of undecided about that.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know whether hate laws are a good idea or not. But I, you know, I just want to ask you. I mean, do you think that the athletic department, that their rules and regulations should fit the Colorado criminal code?
Not necessarily. I think they should. You know, they're representative of the university, of our community, and they should step up and show some guts and say we won't tolerate this kind of thing at all. And they didn't really. They kind of give them a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, I agree. Shouldn't be allowed, at least at the minimum, to play football again. Lee, thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
Sure.
Have a good day. All right, one line open at 303-713-7600. All right, if you don't favor suspension, how about the idea they can't play football? What about that idea? Let's go to Mark in Castle Rock. Mark, you're on AM 760.
Jay, I've done a lot of corporate training over the years, including diversity training, so I'm a strong believer in very proactive diversity in the workplace. What I believe needs to happen here is a public investigation, and I think you at least need to hear from the student. If the student is remorseful, if he says, you know what, I realize now I shouldn't have done this, it was stupid, I'm embarrassed. I've embarrassed my family. I mean, if he truly if during the investigation they truly believe that he is remorseful, then I believe that the suspension is probably enough, along with all the other public humiliation and the fines, etc. If not, then I think that they could certainly increase the consequences.
Yeah, but, you know, going into this, shouldn't they have known? I mean, you don't send another person. You know, I don't care what color they are. You don't send them a threatening email saying, I'm going to come find you and drag you behind my, you know, whatever car.
Right.
I mean, you don't do that. You don't send an email to somebody and say, you're a river rat and a border hopper and a bean-eating piece of you-know-what. A suspension is like no big deal. You know what? I'd love to get suspended from work because I got to be honest with you. If I could get suspended from work, what the hell? I could take 10 days off.
Yeah. Whatever consequences they decide to give, I think they need to be appropriate. It's possible that there needs to be additional consequences. You and I certainly would not do the things that this individual did, but I don't want to dismiss the severity of it or the fact that a college student should know better. But he is a college student. I've worked with a lot of kids his age, and they do stupid things. I don't think it's worth ruining his career over potentially.
Let me ask you this: at the minimum, make a case for me. Why should he be allowed to continue to play football?
Maybe that would be the outcome. You know, I think that they need to do. I think that the university needs to do an investigation, and based upon what they find, I think that additional consequences might be in order.
Well, I'll tell you, most places I've worked, you pull that, you get blown out. They get rid of you. Because you know what? It affects morale in the building. It's wrong. I mean, they would just say, you know what? Look, I mean, they suspend you, and then eventually you would go away. I mean, they just wouldn't. Most of the places I've worked now, I'm not saying all of them, and I've worked a lot of places. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them you would just get popped.
Sure.
All right, Mark, thanks, man. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, well, you heard what he said. He doesn't think that he ought to get blown out. 303-713-7600. All right, you know what? I'll make a compromise here. How about this? How about you can't play football anymore? Because you know something? It looks bad. No, let me rephrase this. How do you think the other teammates would deal with this guy? And his girlfriend, she quits the track team for personal reasons. Yeah, right. And I said this once before, I got castigated by an African-American emailer. You know what? I don't even understand racism. I never understood it as a kid. And in deference to the last caller, because he has some good points, but whether you're 18 or 45 or 60 years old, come on. In this society, don't we know better? Maybe apparently not. 7:42, 18 minutes in front of 8 o'clock, AM 7.
On Tuesdays, look in Tuesday's Post News Classified section for dealers and details. Quantities are limited. The Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News. Power Tools.
CU Hoops on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Johnson. The University of Colorado basketball team looks for its fifth consecutive victory Saturday, December 17th at the Coors Event Center, hosting the
But hey, Colorado, Bojo's Pizza is proud to announce they have just been awarded the top insider spot in the U.S. by Travelocity, as well as receiving the Westward Reader's Choice Award for another year. And to celebrate these prestigious awards, check this out. To celebrate these awards at the holiday season, Bojo's Pizza is bringing back their dinner buffet. All the pizza, soup, and salad you can eat for only $7.49 every Monday through Thursday. Come in for the dinner buffet and try a variety of Bojo's legendary pizzas like the Dude Ranch, the mouth-watering Little Italy, the Northwest-style Yukon, the Pacific Plantation, which I love, the South of the Border Bo Taco, which is also good, or spice up your holiday with the Firecracker Chicken. Now, don't forget to bring the kids, because kids ages 4 to 10 eat for only $2.99, and ages 3 and under eat free. You heard me. They eat free. Bojo's is fun for the whole family. Good place to go after you've gone out and done your holiday shopping. So come on in. This offer is good Monday through Friday throughout the holidays. Bojo's Pizza in Highlands Ranch at University and C470 in Arvada, at 78th and Wadsworth in Denver, at South Colorado.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
9800 for the location closest to you, 303-771-9800. I'm Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
The GOP calls him an SOB. It's J. Marvin, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
748. We're talking about bands like the Ramones and Black Halo of Flies and the Voluptuous Horror of Karen Black, the Buzzcocks, all kinds of different bands. 7:48, 12 minutes away from 8 o'clock. J. Marvin, old, but still managing to stay a little bit hip. All right, we're talking about this CU athletes, two of them, one boy and girlfriend. And she resigns from the track team, citing personal reasons. He gets suspended. He's the offensive tackle, Clint O'Neill. They send racist emails to another player, to another track star, Greg Castro. I believe he's a track star. He may play football. He says putting on the CU uniform is a privilege, Castro says. It would be an honor to wear black and gold. And so this guy, O'Neill, gets a suspension after sending emails calling Castro a river rat, a border hopper, a bean-eating piece of, and I can't say that word, and about threat, I'm going to find you and drag you behind my car. And that's a supposed reference to the 1998 incident, which a black man was dragged to his death by three white men in Jasper, Texas. And this guy's a cross-country runner. He's not a football player. All right. Let me go to the phones here. And a short, brief memory loss. And let's go to Karen in Colorado Springs. Karen, good morning, and thanks for being here on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay, good morning. I'm calling just to make a caller.
We got cell phone failure. Keep trying. Hang in there.
To ruin his career. Well, I thought for career and life, and I think that the leniency toward football is something that's...
All right, hang on. We're going to put you on hold here. We're going to put you on hold and see if you'll come back. Come back to me there, you... okay. Come back to me there, you six-wheeler or 12-wheeler or whatever. Let's go to Mike in Longmont. Mike, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Michael.
At the same time, I'm in the cell phone. I want to make one point, though. This guy, this Clint O'Neill, if I'm correct, he's a senior, which means that the University of Colorado has one more game left, that bowl game, and then he's done. So to suspend him for one game is almost a moot point. And the way that team's playing anyway, it doesn't matter. They're so bad these days, it's probably good for him that he's not even playing. But your argument is it enough? Well, it's nothing because his career is over at CU as a football player.
Yeah, my question about... So, you know what? Should he be allowed to play that last bowl game?
No, he should not. Absolutely not. And he is suspended for that game, if I follow the paper correctly.
Right, yeah, I think you're right.
But still, that, you know, one game is nothing, and then does it carry on to next season? It doesn't matter. He's not his career is over. He's a senior, so if he's suspended for one game, I guess my point is that's not a whole lot, is it?
Well, the school's judiciary affairs office could also investigate the incident and impose disciplinary measures. But and by the way, both of them last week were ticketed by CU police for alleged harassment and ethnic intimidation and were summoned to appear in the Boulder County Court on December the 19th. But you know what, man? Don't you think this guy should get, like, kicked out of the school?
Whatever happens, there needs to be something more than just being suspended for one football game. Because if he's suspended for one game, that's no punishment whatsoever.
How about forced diversity training?
Something. In addition to that, I don't know what else needs to be done, but with all the problems that universities having, racial issues these days, for someone like that or that lady player or the lady cross-country runner to come out and say this, it's just another black eye. It's just disgusting. And I'm a big CU football fan, and you know, that's the last thing that they need. But my point again is one game suspension is nothing because his career is over. So something in addition to that, I think, needs to happen. Thanks,
all right,
Jay.
All right, Michael. Thanks, man. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jay.
All right. Three lines open at 303-713-7600. Three lines open at 303-713-7600. Can anybody tell me? Because I don't know. what's going on at CU? That this kind of stuff happens? What's up with that? Why does this go on? And don't give me the answer because there are racist individuals in this society. I really like to know what the atmosphere there is, because you know what? I don't go to the school. I don't know. Let's go to Tom in Denver. Tom, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
How you doing?
Hey,
can
Tom.
You hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you all right. Go ahead.
Okay. I've got two things to say. First of all, I totally agree with your one caller before where kids do stupid things. I totally agree with him that that's not an excuse to get out of things. But I think that he needs to be made aware of what he's done. And I think that what this last caller said about only suspension for one game, I don't think that's acceptable. I think he needs to be digging holes. He needs to be doing manual labor for 100 hours to make him aware of what he's done. And I think, secondly, I think this whole, you caught on it a little bit before, saying that you think it's a bit more of an underlying problem. I totally agree with you that it's an underlying problem in this country. I don't know if you're going to be aware of my accent. I'm from South Africa. So this whole racism thing really kind of kicks it off for me a little bit, and I listen intently as, you know, when things like this go on.
Right.
And, you know, I just see it bubbling under the surface in this country. You know, in South Africa, it was just blatant. It was in the law. This is the way it has to be for whites. This is the way it has to be for blacks. And, you know, it was completely wrong, and you can completely see it. But in this country, you know, people kind of say racist things and then blame it on free speech. And it's just... It's a real tight line, and it's a real problem.
There used to be separate, you know, there used to be separation of the races here before Brown versus School of Education, or I can't remember, but it's the Brown decision. And then also you had separate, but then you unequal facilities in the South in this country.
Right, and you know, it's so interesting that people say this is the land of the free, blah, 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 and I'm just like, are you kidding me? There is so much going on that's so racist still, you know, that goes on in all parts of this country. And people just like to kick it under the rug. They totally do. And I think that really there needs to be some major dialogue going on in this country, because it's going to blow up. It's absolutely going to blow up. And, of course, this then starts, you know, people start blaming racism on a lot of things that aren't racism. But it's to try and get things kick-started, to try and get people talking about it. You know, the whole Katrina thing, was that racism or wasn't it? I'm not saying it was, I'm not saying it wasn't. But
no, I don't think that was racism. I think that's benign neglect by a president who puts a guy in control who is a political crony who has, you know, who's a dimwit, basically.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. I do agree with you. I mean, I'm a Democrat, but, you know, I just think this whole issue is a real serious issue, which people don't think is that serious in this country. And I just wanted to say that.
All right, I'm glad you did, Tom. Call anytime. Great call. Thank you.
Yeah, cheers, Jack.
All right, take care. You know, I've worked at radio stations where I've been told on the air, knock off the topics about race. I really have. I'm not kidding you about this. Let's go to Cindy in Bailey. Cindy, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Cindy.
My feelings on this are that there's not too much that could happen to this kid that would be bad enough. you don't come to the point where you write things like that without having it in your heart. And I mean deeply embedded in your heart. You don't write something like that just on a whim. Just because you got drunk one night or whatever. This kid's got hate in his heart that has got to be dealt with. And if it's not dealt with now, he's going to be like the guys in Jasper dragging somebody behind his car someday.
All right, so would you be in favor of kicking him out?
Absolutely. And I would not only kick him out, I would prosecute him with whatever I could possibly hit him with. There's got to be some type of felony statute that would cover something like
that. No, I don't think
so.
I think it's a misdemeanor, and as I said earlier, and an earlier caller pointed it out, that it is a misdemeanor and that he is going to go to court. But no, it's not a felony.
So they don't have hate crime laws that cover threats, even?
You know what? I don't think so. I don't think there are hate crime laws in this state.
Well, anytime you threaten somebody's life, is there not some sort of... a felony statute that would cover something like that, because that's what they did. They threatened the guy's life.
You know,
I don't know.
You know, not as I read it.
I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with that sort of thing, but I don't think there's too much bad that could happen to him that shouldn't happen to him. He ought to definitely be kicked out of school.
All right,
no doubt about it. I've dealt with racism.
Appreciate it. I thank you. I'm running out of time. Thanks for the call. And have a good day. Coming up next at 8 o'clock, should Tukey Williams die? We'll talk about that coming up.
The GOP calls him an SOB. It's J. Marvin, AM 760.
Happy holidays, one and all.
National and news from around the world.
AM 760.
Now, CBS News.
KKCN Thornton Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani, and this is just in. A judge in Houston has declared a mistrial in the first Vioxx damage suit to go to trial in federal court. Over the weekend, the jury said it was deadlocked. The judge asked the jury to keep trying. This morning, he gave up. Again, a judge in Houston has just declared a mistrial in the first Vioxx damage suit to go to trial in federal court. The life-or-death decision is in the hands of California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he still hasn't made up his mind. Unless the governor grants clemency, Cripps Street Gang founder Tukey Williams will be put to death 17 hours from now. Los Angeles ministers like Carl Washington have been appealing for calm ahead of the governor's announcement.
There's no organized effort for people to commit any crime if Tukey Williams is not given a stay of execution.
This is Steve Futterman outside of San Quentin Prison. As Governor Schwarzenegger prepares to make his decision on clemency, things inside the prison are going ahead as if the execution will take place as planned 1 minute after midnight. Stanley Tukey Williams is being kept in a special holding cell right near the death chamber. He's being watched around the clock. These are the normal procedures that take place for anyone about to be executed. Steve Futterman, CBS News at San Quentin Prison.
Nursing home fire that broke out 360 miles north of Detroit just after midnight killed two, injured dozens, forced dozens of residents into the cold. Ishpeming, Michigan Fire Chief Andy Lusardi says emergency services were on the spot within minutes.
We had anywhere between 10 to 12 ambulances on scene transporting patients out of there to a shelter that was set up at the Township Hall.
No word yet on what caused the fire. In Philadelphia in an hour, President Bush will make the latest in a series of speeches to boost support for the war in Iraq. Today's subject, Thursday's elections. In Iraq, CBS's Cammie McCormick watched soldiers cast their ballots in Ramadi.
They marched to this base in Ramadi, chanting that they were prepared to win the battle against terrorists. They are voting today because all 2,000 of these Iraqi soldiers will be on duty election day, protecting polling places. Their commander says he's confident it will be trouble-free. He's won assurances from local tribal leaders that they will cooperate. But just in case, he'll have men surrounding voting places, and they'll be in place within the next day.
Ask girls between 16 and 18 if they drink, and a third will say yes. Ask mothers if their daughters drink, and only 7% say yes. Ralph Blackman is with the Century Council, the anti-drinking group that commissioned the surveys.
38% of mothers said it was okay for their daughters to drink on special occasions. Almost 20% said that it was okay to drink under parental supervision.
Blackman says that lack of concern encourages teenage drinking. In early Wall Street trading, the Dow Industrials are up a little bit more than 20 points. The NASDAQ Composite is up about 7. This is CBS News.
When it comes to the holidays, make all your friends and family's wishes bright with a bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. At 1-800-Flowers.com, you get a choice of beautiful flowers fresh from their growers or festive bouquets from their expert designers, like the exclusive Waterford Present Bouquet in a keepsake ceramic Waterford gift box, $49.99. Order today, get same-day delivery. Just call, click, or come in to any of our 1-800-Flowers stores and mention my name, Lisa Gibbons, for special savings. 1-800-Flowers.com, your florist of choice.
Waiting for that warm holiday feeling? Try bundling up at CompUSA. Right now, get a Toshiba Satellite Notebook featuring an Intel Celeron M Processor 360 for under $400. Then get a D-Link wireless networking card for free. Bundle up and save at CompUSA. We got it. We get it. Offers valid when you sign up for 12 months of AOL service on a new account in-store and by quantities limited. Pricing may vary in Connecticut. See store for details.
News this hour brought to you by Men's Warehouse.
AM 760. Progressive traffic.
Well, the good news is crews have cleared up this crash. Eastbound I-70 right around Pico. Still dealing with northbound 225. Slow from Parker Road because the three cars tangled up on the left shoulder just north of I-Lift. Now, if you're coming out of the north end of town, southbound I-25, looking at brake lights from 104th right into downtown, and now we're busy through T-Rex and northbound I-25. Seeing a slow go right around Colorado Boulevard, that's because of a new lane shift to the left there. Around town, we're busy on Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93, Arapahoe, Broadway, and Baseline are loaded up, and the Turnpike also slow eastbound from Federal over to Pecos.
On to exit 262 in Windsor and I-25 in Founders Parkway. Learn more at aircarecolorado.com or call 303-456-7090.
AM 760. The real story, 24-7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ed Schultz, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhodes, 48, the best.
Because then again...
Call 1-800-460-1300. That's 1-800-460-1300. 1-800-460-1300.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 8:06, 6 minutes after 8 a.m. 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. High today, 50, plenty of sunshine. And it's a good-looking morning out this morning, isn't it? All right, 303-713-7600. We once talked about this when it came to Saddam Hussein. And it's all over the news this morning, and I thought we would talk about it a little bit. The California Supreme Court late yesterday refused to grant a stay of execution.
The world has been good to Fisher Investments. We've experienced tremendous growth for decades. Now we want to give something back. So we're offering a new no-cost or obligation report to people who won't ever be our clients. Maybe you. It's called The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make. Although at Fisher Investments, we do business only with high net worth folks and institutions, we're happy to share these key insights with investors. Our experience managing $25 billion for millionaires and pensions has given us valuable insight. Insight that can help you quickly identify and hopefully sidestep mistakes most investors make. The worst and most costly ones. So request your free copy of the 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make today. No charge and no sales pitch. The world has been good to us, and now we want to give back. It's not just our desire, it's our responsibility. For your free report, call 1-800-771-3464. That's 1-800-771-3464. 1-800-771-3464.
He would be the 12th inmate executed by the state since California reinstated the death penalty back in 1977. 12:01 Tuesday would actually be Wednesday morning. The state Supreme Court ruled 6-0 against staying his execution, saying Williams' last-minute appeal lacked merit and was untimely. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Brault had implored the justices early Sunday to dismiss the petition, writing that it is without merit and manifestly designed to delay. The justices had early denied a defense request to reopen the case over allegations that shoddy forensics list the weapon used in the three murders to a shotgun registered to Williams. And apparently, according to the news media yesterday evening, the defense has found another witness to come forward and say that Williams, that Tukey wasn't involved. Now, Tukey's supporters also made another pitch directly to the governor yesterday to spare his life, telling Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in a letter that they had a new witness who would help prove Williams' innocence. All we need now is time to investigate to make sure the story is real, said NAACP California President Alice Huffman. We're hoping and we're praying for clemency, but we're not going to leave any stone unturned. Schwarzenegger said last week that he was agonizing over Williams' request for clemency. Prosecutors and family members of the victim have urged him to deny the request, in part because Williams continues to deny guilt in the slangs. No clemency request has been granted in California since 1967 when Ronald Reagan spared a mentally ill killer. All right, my question to you is, knowing that Tukey Williams was condemned for slaying a man during a robbery in February 1979 and the death of a couple and their daughter at a South Los Angeles motel room the following month, do you think Tukey Williams should be executed? I'm against the death penalty. I definitely am. And I'm against the death penalty for the very reason in this story, that they may have found another witness. That they may have got a new witness who can help prove this guy's innocence. And I think the death penalty is cruel, unusual punishment. And that if you want to punish somebody for doing something like committing murder, you should throw them in the can for the rest of their lives. Let them sit there with no hope of freedom. And let them sit there and have to figure out what they've done and talk and realize what they've done and suffer the idea of something that most of us take for granted because we've never lost it, the idea of freedom. I can't think of anything worse than having to be in a prison cell for life. Okay, I've heard the arguments about, well, these inmates get out and lift weights. They watch television. Yeah, but you know what? You're not free to do what you want to do. You can't go to the Burger King. You can't go out with friends. You can't basically hang out. You can't go to the latest movie. You can't do the things that you take for granted in this society, like freedom of mobility. And basically, you know, being able to use freedom of choice. You're told basically what to do. And you're isolated, except for whatever friends and family come visit you. I can't think of anything worse. Now, maybe there's some of you out there who believe that in certain cases, the death penalty should be enacted. And you know what? It is really a challenge. And it's really hard to sit back when it's a case of, like this guy, Tukey Williams, who, unless this witness pans out, obviously was convicted and did these crimes. Or, as we talked about in an earlier show, Saddam Hussein. Who it's rough to sit there and look at this guy at his trial. Knowing that he committed all these horrible atrocities. And you think to yourself, you know what, the sucker should be dead, even if I got to pull the trigger myself. I mean, that's the challenge of the death penalty. And it's a very, very rough argument to make against the death penalty, although statistics show, or at least the last statistics that I saw, indicates that the American public is slowly but surely turning against the death penalty. And there are a lot of things involved in this, not only for Tukey Williams, but also for average inmates. Average, you know, if you're poor, and I've said this before, if you're poor and you get convicted of a crime, you're not going to get the representation that somebody like a Robert Blake can get, or an O.J. Simpson, because you don't have the money. And DNA has found time and time again that people have been convicted of murder. Turns out they didn't do it, and even rape and other things. So I want to talk about Tukey Williams, whether you think that this guy should be put to death for committing this slaying of a man during a robbery in 1979, and the deaths of a couple and their daughter at a South Los Angeles motel the following month. This guy also founded the Crips, a notorious gang responsible for a lot of deaths in Los Angeles. Now he says that he's sorry about this and that he's illustrated children's books. He's written them about not getting involved in gangs. He's become a proponent of not being involved in gangs. He claims that he's turned his life around. His supporters claim that he's turned his life around. And the other thing is, what would you say to the victims' families? I mean, how would you sit down and explain your feelings about it? Now, I don't know if this man who he is accused of killing and was found guilty of killing in a robbery in 1979, in February of 79, he must have family. How do you sit down and tell that family, well, listen, killing this guy who killed a member of your family is not the right thing to do? Or how about the couple and their daughter in a South Los Angeles motel the following month? How do you sit down with their family? To me, that would be the hardest part. And I have heard of cases where families have stepped up and they have said that the capital punishment is wrong and that they don't believe in it. But could you imagine sitting down with somebody? I mean, how would you feel if somebody, God forbid, murdered your husband or your wife, or shot one of your kids and killed them? I mean, what would you be your feeling then? that if somebody came to you and said, look, the convicted killer of a member of your family deserves to get clemency, what would you say? You know, the trouble with a lot of these stories is while they're in the news, in a lot of ways, they don't affect us personally. I mean, we can have a discussion here on talk radio about the death penalty. We can have a discussion about this whole Tukey Williams situation or Saddam Hussein or anybody else you want to bring up. But the thing is, it doesn't touch us personally for the most part. It's not a member of our family that was gunned down. It's not a member of our family that was gunned down. I have had people call me on the air and have talked about members of their family being killed or a member of their family being killed. And they've endorsed the death penalty, even though I've tried at times to argue against it. All right, so should Tukey Williams be put to death by lethal injection on Tuesday at 12:01 in the morning Pacific time, 303-713-7600, or should his life be spared? Should Arnold Schwarzenegger give him clemency and his life in prison a better alternative than taking his life? 303-713-7600, two lines open. Offers Premier Carpet Cleaning Company is offering to clean three rooms and a hallway for only $125. You get the same great service, same quality that you would expect from the number one carpet cleaner along the Front Range. Superior Carpet Care is a family-owned business, and they're people who care about your home. No matter who you've ever used before, you've got to try Superior Carpet Care, and you'll see and feel the difference in your carpets, and you'll always have them back because the carpets will be that good-looking, and you're going to have family over. Man, you don't want dingy carpets, do you? And for $125 for three rooms and a hallway, you just can't beat the price to go along with their superior work. Get those stains up, make your carpet look great. And if you need your carpets or air ducts clean, take my recommendation. Take Mary's recommendation. Our recommendation is to call Superior Carpet Care, 303-933-3000. That's
7 Kids, 313, and be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Ed Schultz here, wishing you a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from all of us at AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 8:20, 20 minutes after 8, AM 760 Boulder. A broken wrist on her right side and her fractured arm. And no, I didn't do it. She slipped on the ice. We just haven't been doing much. We've been pretty much laying low. The guy that Williams shot in the robbery in February of 1979 was a store clerk. I forgot to add that in. Can you imagine that working in and when I go into these stores, and I frequently do, early in the morning hours. I get up at 3. I stopped at 1 this morning to ask if they had newspapers. I mean, there's this guy working behind the counter. I think to myself, man, you know what? Anybody could walk in and take a pot shot at you. And he's scheduled to die at 12:01 a.m. Tuesday, which would not be Wednesday. It actually would be at 12:01 tonight. But it's 12:01 specific time. And by the way, don't bother to email me today because I'm locked out of my email account. Did I throw that in? Yeah, I am. Somehow, I can't remember what my password is. Or the password I have is wrong and they switched it on me or whatever the case may be, but I can't get into my email. All right, let's take some calls on this. Should Tukey Williams die? Yes or no? Let's go to Paul in Denver. Paul, you're on AM 760. Good morning. Whoops, I can't get you on here. Good morning. There you are. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, hi, Jay.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, you had a good weekend, right?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Well, Tukey's never going to have another good weekend. I'm opposed to capital punishment. I always have been. I think it's like torture. It's been proven that torture doesn't do any good, and it's been proven that capital punishment does not deter crime. I don't think Tukey should be put to death. I don't think anybody should be put to death. It's just not something that helps deter crime, and like you say, spending your life in jail has got to be the worst thing that could ever happen to somebody.
I've also seen statistics, although I haven't seen them in a while, but I remember that there is this, used to be a statistic out there that actually violent crimes rise just after an execution.
Oh, wow, I never heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's current. I remember it from maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I think it's, you know, here, this is a prime example of how somebody can turn their life around in prison. And I've heard this before where, you know, people who spend the rest of their, or a long time, you know, 20, 30 up to life, they end up, you know, spending a lot of time thinking and reading and turn their lives around, you know, and it sounds like this is one of those examples, and it's too bad. Honestly, it's too bad he's going to be put to death. I mean, it sounds
Wait a minute, though. We don't know that yet because Schwarzenegger hasn't said one way or the other about clemency, and he's also got a federal appeal that they're working on.
Yeah, well, I hope he doesn't. I hope it does get changed. It sounds like he's helped a lot of kids, and so I hope it doesn't happen.
All right, Paul, have a safe day, and we'll talk to you again.
Okay, Jay.
All right. One line open at 303-713-7600. We're asking, should Tukey Williams be put to death? Let's go to Linda in Loveland. Linda, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Linda.
I really am against the death penalty. I think that, as the caller just said previously, that, you know, this man has had a chance to kind of think and meditate and he has done a lot of good. And I think that can often happen. I would much rather see people stay in jail. I'm really against this eye for an eye mentality that seems to be running rampant. You know, the whole victim kind of thing. And so this person was killed 30 years ago, practically. And I would think that the hate, the kill rage, would be gone by now. And that the victims, families, etc., could kind of put this into perspective and realize that, no, this man, we really have no right to take another life. So that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and when the state takes a life, they take it in the name of the taxpayers, which is you and I.
Yeah, I don't want them to take a life in my name.
Yeah, I have problems with that, too. And I've also got a friend, well, he's an acquaintance, because I haven't talked to him in a long time, who used to say he was in prison for like in and out of jails for like 30 years, and he used to say that when you were in prison, the older you got, the more that those feelings of violence went away. That eventually it just went. I mean, it wasn't there anymore. So obviously, this guy's tried to turn his life around, or, you know, as some people say, he has turned his life around, and I'm kind of like you. I mean, I just, this eye for an eye thing just is not, it's just not appealing to me.
No, I think that our civilization has really gone backwards.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the call, Linda. Thanks. Have a good day.
Hey, you also. Bye-bye.
Okay. 303-713-7600. One line open. Yeah, there's something about an eye for an eye. She's right. That just doesn't appeal. Just doesn't appeal to it. And people used to argue that the death penalty was cruel and unusual punishment. And I think you can make that argument again about that. Let's go to Rebecca on I-70. Rebecca, hi. You're on AM 760. Good morning.
This morning.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi. You know, I can't support the death penalty. I had a brother who was murdered in 1976 here in Denver. He was only 18.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And, well, you know, it's years... Bad things happen to everybody. They're just different levels of it. But he had just graduated from high school and was a National Merit Scholar and ready to go to college. And it really, really devastated us. There's no doubt about that. But what good does it do to kill somebody else for it? You know, we're not accomplishing anything by turning right around and killing someone.
What happened to the guy that killed him?
Well, it actually was two kids, a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old. The 13-year-old testified against the 14-year-old, and he got juvenile until he turned 18, and then he was released. It was before they were prosecuting kids for adults. So,
were you happy with that?
Oh no, we weren't happy with that. But there was at that time there was only so much you could do. They just try kids differently. They do it differently now. But even still, if he were tried in this day and age for the same crime, I would believe in life in prison, but no way would I want him killed.
All right, Rebecca, thanks for your story, and I appreciate your call.
Yeah, you have a wonderful day, Jay.
Yeah, you too, Rebecca. Thanks. All right. One line open at 303-713-7600. Let's go to Ken in Colorado Springs. Ken, you're on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hey, Jay. Good morning.
Hey, Ken. What do you think?
Well, I think the comments that he's rehabilitated himself are pretty shallow, since he's never even admitted or shown any remorse for these crimes.
Well, I think he says he's rehabilitated. He insists he's innocent of the crimes, but he says he's rehabilitated himself when it comes to the gang life.
Well, he's been tried. He's had several appeals. Apparently, there's overwhelming evidence that he committed these crimes. Even the Ninth Circuit in California couldn't overturn the sentence. So he's never admitted it. He's obviously did it. He killed more than the store clerk. He also wiped out a family.
Yeah, I talked about that in the South Los Angeles motel.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. What good does execution do? Do you think it's a preventative?
No.
Well, I don't care. What's the point behind it?
It's called justice.
Justice is defined by who? You?
Justice as defined by the cosmic laws of that we all...
Wait a minute. Don't give me this cosmic law stuff. You sound like somebody who sits around and sniffs incense and burns candles. I mean, what does cosmic mean?
It's when you take someone else's life, you should pay with your own. In that type of a manner. I'm not talking about an accidental...
What about the Ten Commandments? This is thou shalt not kill.
Aren't you
doing that in the name of the state? You think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
So you don't believe in the Ten Commandments, then?
Not necessarily. First of all, the Ten Commandments don't say thou shalt not kill. They say thou shalt not murder.
All right, or thou shalt not murder, whichever you want to call it. Isn't that murder? Isn't that murdering in the name of the state?
No.
Oh, it's
this
not?
This is putting out justice. This is
that's justice as defined by you.
No, this is justice as defined by the state.
I mean, there's a lot of us who are taxpayers who don't think it's justice. We don't think justice is carried out that way.
These are the laws that are on the books.
Yeah, but you know something? If you took that interpretation for every law that was on the books, you'd be in a sad state, wouldn't you?
Took what interpretation?
If you just said, if your blind answer to everything that comes up is, well, that's the law on the books, you'd be in a sad shape because no unjust laws... Whatever be challenged. I mean, you can't use that as an answer. Like they're just unjust laws
are challenged in the legislature.
Yeah, okay? but if you just believe, they're challenged in court. But if you just believed that because it's on the books, as you said, that
unjust laws are challenged in the legislature.
Well, you know what? No,
courts are there to apply the law.
No, they go there to the courts to challenge them. It's up to the legislature to change what they believe to be unjust laws. All right, thank you, Ken. I don't agree with you, but I appreciate the call. See, I'm not being very nasty this morning. I'm not fighting, really, with the callers. Do you miss that? Or should I fight with them? Put up your dukes. How about Tookie Williams and Arnold Schwarzenegger going at it? Tookie's pretty fucked up. 8:31, 29 minutes away from 9 o'clock, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Let's get a look at progressive traffic now with Bailey.
Well, thanks, Jay. Things are busy on the highways this morning. Northbound 225, still jamming from Parker Road. That's because of this three-car crash off to the shoulder just past Islip. Now we're seeing trouble on the toll road southbound E-470. Have a rollover working, so that's slowing you down as you approach 104th. Now we have a new lane shift northbound I-25 at Colorado Boulevard. That's bunching things up a bit. And southbounders still dealing with the usual delays from 104th right into downtown and through T-Rex. If you're headed in from Lakewood, Sunglare's going to get you eastbound 6th Avenue. Slows from Sheridan and check in the Turnpike. We're running heavy eastbound from Federal over to Pecos. Forecast today, sunny skies.
Holiday season with a gift card from Albertsons. Give a gift, get a gift. It's easy. Only at Albertsons.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language, with no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills? You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, over 10,000 schools, and NASA already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and and try it with our compliments. This amazing demo includes 28 languages. Learn a language better than you thought possible and faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-339-1195 and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills. Call for your free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. The number is 1-800-339-1195. That's 1-800-339-1195.
I don't think it said thou shalt not murder. I think it said thou shalt not kill. I think I went along with that too easily. Hey, let me talk to you about Icon LASIK and Skin Clinic. Icon has been making LASIK affordable since 1999. Now, depending on the patient, Icon charges as little as $4.99 per eye, and no one else in the metro area can offer LASIK at this price. Icon can because they cut out the middleman. So don't believe the hype that only an expensive clinic can perform safe LASIK. Icon's experienced surgeons have handled tens of thousands of patients and are trained at the very latest state-of-the-art lasers from Nidex to Vizix. Icon has laser surgery that's safe and affordable. Sent a friend of mine to Icon, and you know what? They did an excellent job. If you've ever thought about getting LASIK done but weren't sure where to start, talk to the folks at Icon. They can help you make an informed decision to find out if LASIK surgery is right for you. And there are a lot of people out there who advertise doing LASIK surgery. Make sure you go to somebody who really knows what they're doing. Visit them on the web at icondenver.com or set up to call to set up.
Southwest Airlines is bringing low fares and great service to Denver on January 3rd. Check it out at southwest.com.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
8:35, 25 minutes away from 9 a.m. 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. High today, 50, sunshine. My brain is, like, really working slow this morning, and I don't know what it is. Because, as I said, Mary and I had pretty much a restful weekend. You know, the other thing I didn't bring up to the Ken from Colorado Springs, do you have absolute and complete faith in the justice system? I don't have that. Because I was in Illinois, for instance, when Governor Ryan released all those people because of wrong DNA. And I also question, as I said earlier, the system of representation. I don't know what kind of lawyers Tukey Williams had. And the idea that they say that they've got a new witness who could help prove Tukey's innocence, I think it's up to the state in good conscience to look into this. Let me go to Craig, who's been hanging on in Wiggins. Craig, hi, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Yeah, hey, Ed, how you doing?
No, it's Jay. Ed's on in the afternoon.
Oh, Jay, I'm sorry. But anyway, I'd like to give Williams a chance. I'd like to give him a chance against Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like you were saying, put them in a match together. You know, I know the ratings of Arnold Schwarzenegger have been real down, and I don't really respect him as a politician, but as a superhero, I do.
Well, you got to be, because I said it in jest, so you got to be saying it in jest. Or are you being serious?
I am serious. When they marched Williams out, I couldn't believe the condition of that guy. I mean, he is, he must have been pumping weights in prison or something.
Well,
but
what else is there to do?
Oh, I know. I mean, he could orchestrate a whole jailbreak on his own.
Well, I don't think so. If he had wanted to do that, he would have already gotten out.
Oh.
I mean, doesn't that occur to you that he would have already gotten out? I mean, come on, don't be ridiculous.
Okay.
Don't pull my leg. I've had enough of it pulled today. All right,
okay.
Craig, take care, man. All right, enough of that. Let's go to Christine in Arvada. Or is Christine gone? She's gone. All right, let's go to Billy. Is she there? Where is she? Oh, I see her. Okay. Christine in Arvada, is that you?
Yeah.
See, I told you I'm having trouble this morning. Maybe we should just roll the clock back and I'll start over again at 6 a.m.
Well, you know, sometimes I think you just need those three-day weekends.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Why don't you talk to management and tell them I got to have a three-day weekend?
Hey, you tell them I said so.
I need a Gary Barnett buyout. Okay,
there you go.
Go ahead.
Well, what I'd like to do real quick, Jay, is draw this into a broader universal theme. The fact is, as human beings, our instinct is for vengeance. But our evolution is towards justice. And the fact is, this same mentality of meeting violence with violence has us at war in the Middle East, has us, you know, it's the same mentality. We punish it in our children. We tell kids, no, don't hit them back just because they hit you. But then that's exactly what we do on a grander scale as adults in our society. And And until that hypocrisy is dealt with, then it's going to be a continuing question.
Well, I,
you see what I'm saying? When do we grow up? I mean, if you want to use biblical references, turn the other cheek. 49 times 49 times. That was metaphorical. It meant keep turning the other cheek. As human beings, we've got to evolve in that direction. And, yeah, I guess a little bit of a peacenik here, but...
Well, there's nothing,
I'm comfortable with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. And as far as biblically goes, you know,
Lord.
Well, you know, we apply the, and I'm guilty of it too sometimes, we apply the Bible, particularly the New Testament, we apply it when it meets our needs, and then when
exactly.
it doesn't, we just discard it.
Exactly.
I think a question for all Christians would be, would Jesus endorse the death penalty?
Well, in the point you said, thou shalt not kill. It didn't say thou shalt not murder. It said
yeah.
thou shalt not kill.
That guy was wrong.
It didn't justify killing by the state, by us, to say... And like I said, you know, as far as victims... justice is set by the state, and there's no room for vengeance in our society. Vengeance is different, and you know, if people kill out of vengeance,
yeah,
we punish them just as equally.
Didn't the Lord say, what was that thing about vengeance is mine, saith
yeah,
the Lord?
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I believe actually that is Old Testament.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I say, we have a tendency to sort that stuff out. Christine,
sure.
Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Absolutely, Jake.
Okay. Have a good day. One line open at 303-713-7600. Here's Ron with an interesting point. Ron in Greenwood Village. Ron, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's the same perverse logic that the right follows, that there's an inconsistency. The right wants no abortion but is pro-death penalty. But the left wants to have choice and no death penalty.
Well, I don't. You know what? I don't view it that way. As somebody who sits on the left, I look at it like this. I'm against abortion. I would counsel anybody not to have one. But what bothers me is the idea that the government can intrude in on the privacy of your medical records and intrude in the privacy of your medical decisions. I don't want the government involved in that. And that's the thing that bothers me about the whole subject of a woman's right to choose versus restricting a woman's right to choose.
Oh, I agree.
I don't think anybody out there would ever come forward, whatever. I mean, maybe somebody would, but I don't think anybody would call here and say, hey, Ron, I'm for abortion.
The most pro-choice people I know don't like either, and I am for women's choice. And I think the reason that we're having this whole Tukey Williams discussion is because there are victims, and that's what matters. There are victims, and those victims deserve justice.
Well,
period.
You know, that gets into the whole thing about, you know, how do you define justice? And as I failed to say to Ken in Colorado Springs, but I'll say it to you, do you, and when it comes to somebody's life, life or death, do you have absolute supreme confidence in the judicial system of this country, even though time and time again it is pointed out that innocent people have been executed or that people who are on death row have been wrongly convicted? I'm not saying one way or the other, because I don't have knowledge of it, whether Tukey Williams did it or not, but I don't have, in those two cases that he's charged in, I don't have complete absolute confidence in the system, and plus they claim they've got another witness who would exonerate him. When you're talking about a man's life, I think that that information ought to be heard.
I agree, but I'm saying I have nothing against the death penalty in cases where it's absolute.
But wait a minute. Would you trust your life to the judicial system of this country? Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. I don't know how much money you make, and it's none of my business, but would you consider yourself to be middle class or upper middle class?
Lower middle.
All right, lower middle. You get accused of murder, whether you did it or you didn't do it. You can protest your innocence until the cows come home, but trust me, what kind of legal representation are you going to get? Because you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your bank account, and you're going to lose everything else because court is expensive, and you're not going to get the same representation that somebody like a O.J. Simpson would get. You're not going to get that, pal. So your life hangs in the balance based on what kind of representation you're going to get, and it does matter what kind of an attorney you get. And if you get a court-appointed attorney, a lot of times they're not very good.
Well, that's where they start their training.
Well, yeah,
I agree.
If somebody's life is in the balance, how do you dismiss that, where that's where they start their training?
It's the best system on the planet.
That doesn't make it right. It's not the best system on the planet. It's been proven time and time again to be flawed.
I agree that it's not perfect.
Well, then how are you going to put a man's life in the clutches of a system that's not perfect? What happens if he turns out like 5 years later that he's innocent? What are you going to do then? You can't go to the grave and bring him back.
Well, you can't bring the victims of these people
back.
Either.
I understand that, but you know when you talk about the judicial system,
all right,
of
think
this
about
country,
your wife has just been brutally murdered by somebody. There's DNA evidence, and it's irrefutable. He did it. People saw him pull the trigger. She's dead in the street, bleeding. What do you want to do?
Well, I still
give him life in prison.
Yeah,
that's right. Within three years.
You don't want to know something? That's absolutely wrong. Read the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution about offing the guy, in 3 years. And the fact of the matter is that the average appeal takes 11.5 years. And to further make the statement, two wrongs don't make a right. Thank you. And I don't appreciate the little sarcastic voice. Okay? Hit your head against the steering wheel until you get some common sense. 8:45, 50 minutes away from...
Free parking at any of the 16 metro area park and rides. Save your money for the fun stuff. Skyride to DIA, 303-299-6000.
Randy Rhodes.
When the snow starts piling up outside the White House, and when the poor and the elderly start freezing to death in their beds, I would like for you to bring Cindy Sheehan.
Customers. And that's exactly what they're about. They're passionate about what they sell, and they want to do a good job, and they want to make you comfortable. And every vehicle is equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles. And I can't tell you, I can't stress this enough. It protects you. And on top of that, it shows you that Rockies has got full faith in the vehicles that they sell. They've been family-owned and operated since 1982. Check them out on the Internet, RockiesAutos.com, or drop by in person. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m.
Happy holidays, one and all.
Happy holidays, some left, some all.
Bacon, eggs, and Jay Marvin on AM 760 in the morning.
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Stone. 8:50. Well, actually, it's 8:51, 9 minutes away from 9 o'clock on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk. High today, 50. Plenty of sunshine. So you get plenty of satisfaction. 303-713-7600. Chatuki Williams be put to death. Then after 9 o'clock, it's open phones. And I got a bunch of stuff in here that I haven't shared with you. So I'll try to cram it into the 9 o'clock hour. Let's go to Billy in Denver, who's been hanging on. Billy, good morning. You're on AM 760.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Billy, how are you?
I'm fine, sir. I'm fine, sir.
So then you don't have to call me, sir. Just call me Jay.
All right, Big Jay. You got it.
All right.
On the Tukey Williams issue, I've lived in a community where it's Crips and Bloods. Whoever started that has a price to pay for doing that to the community and the lives that that organization and that whole crock of boo-boo started. If this man took another man's life, and if they prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he did this, in order for a society to function, there must be a set of rules, even with our children. We teach them, you do this, this will happen. You do this, this will happen. He violated, he's accused of murder. He took another human life. Being locked up in a cell, true. Oh, yeah, you're good now. You wrote a book. I can do anything if you lock me up in a cell for X amount of years. But when you're a free man in society and you have choices to make and you make the wrong choice, because at some point, and that murderer, when he pointed that gun at that man, he had a choice to say, you know what, this is wrong, or this is not right.
Well,
that was his choice.
I'll put to you the same thing I put to the last caller. He denies he did it. Do you have supreme confidence in the justice system, even though there have been numerous cases that have proved to be wrong, where innocent people have been convicted? Do you have supreme belief in the justice system, number one, that it works and that it's fair, particularly when you're talking about a man's life? And number two, nobody's saying that there shouldn't be a set of rules. I didn't once say that.
No, I don't have that kind of confidence in anything that mankind does.
Well, then why would you want to dangle somebody's life over that kind of a situation?
But if he can't prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt, which is our system's way of saying, you must prove that you didn't do this. This is your chance. This is your shot to prove it. If he can't prove that, then it falls the way it falls. He lived a life of crime. This guy wasn't in church every Sunday.
Well, no, I don't think anybody's saying that he was in church. I don't know of anybody who would make that statement that he was in church. But once again, and I got to ask this over, you know, and this is the big thing that convinced me that the death penalty is wrong, and one of the things that I don't trust, and I don't care how many people call here and try to tell me otherwise, I don't trust the judicial system of this country when it comes to somebody's life. I don't trust it. I wasn't at the trial. I don't know, but I don't trust it because I've seen far too many people go to the can, get convicted of murder, and then it turns out somewhere down the line, either after they've been executed or before they've been executed and they've served time in jail, that it turns out that somebody else did it, that they didn't do it. And that the state didn't do its job in investigating the situation, or there was evidence counter, and either they suppressed it or they never found it.
Well, see, I think this is more than just, quote, this murder trial. I think what's pending with this young man is the fact that he started a violent organization. It's the fact that they looked back into his past and said, you know what, this guy has been wrong so long, he can never go right.
Well, how do you know? But I don't accept that. You don't think anybody at any time can turn their life around and come to the realization that what they did was wrong?
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in that because I've lived that existence where you make a difference in your life later on. But if you take another life, I mean, there's got to be a cost for that. And if you're proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's, I think, where our contention lies. Can you prove it beyond a shadow? If not, and you put him in a room, and you leave him in that room with no other human contact, no nothing for the rest of his life, the same as the victim. He has no human contact.
I don't have any problem with that.
I don't either, but if you prove, yeah, you did this, okay, yeah, you messed up, young man.
Yeah, but once again, you get into this whole thing about proof, and I have to ask you, as I ask all the previous callers, do you have supreme belief that the judicial system does the right thing, that it doesn't cut upon money and the process and representation and the fact that people, you know, often screw up. And my favorite story about this is my favorite story. This happened probably about 10, 15 years ago. Guy's on trial for his life, right?
Yep.
Turns out that his court-appointed attorney, okay, is napping during the trial. Then there's another case where the court-appointed attorney is sleeping with the prosecutor. And then finally, there's the examples of where as the system, as the person who's accused works their way through the system, which takes approximately, in most cases, 11.5 years, somewhere along the line, an attorney or a judge screws up and violates the person's constitutional rights. They don't mean to do it, but they end up doing it. And then the person, like, goes to the, you know, ends up going to be executed. I don't think that's right. Do you?
No, of course that's not. I've been convicted of a crime that I did not do. It was a minor thing.
Well, okay, then. Did you get proper representation?
No, I'm poor. Are you kidding?
No, I didn't get proper.
I got a public defender that said, I take this, and don't worry, they won't do that. I took that, and then they said, oh, no, we changed our mind. And I didn't do it. I wasn't even around
I knew the people that did, though. Well, but if that's true, then how can you have the belief in the judicial system that it would be fair, that and impartial, and that somebody's life should be you know, in the balance? I'm not saying what he did is a good thing. He denies that he did it. Who knows what kind of trial he got? I mean, you and I weren't there, but the idea is that there are these screw ups, including in your case, and then you're talking about somebody's life. I mean, that would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's a frightening thing, but if they can prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt.
But if the system has inherent flaws, and the inherent flaws are something that we have never bothered to sit down and work out in this society because there's virtually no discussion of it, then how can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt? How do we get into beyond a shadow of a doubt?
That's what they're basing this on.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, how do you get into that if it's not, you know, if the system, you know, doesn't work and has inherent wrongs, and there have been people who have been accused beyond a shadow of a doubt, and then they end up getting out because, you know, of DNA or some other screw up in the legal system.
Yeah, it's a no win for Tukey.
Yeah,
it's a no win for society.
I agree.
We have no way of as human beings, how do we find out what's the real deal?
We got to work. We have to work on the process and fix it. Thank you, Billy. Have a good day.
Yes, sir.
All right. We got to work on the process and fix it. All right. Open phones coming up next.
Suit.
Merry Christmas!
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays from AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
AKCN Thornton Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Christopher Glenn. Hung jury in Houston, and the judge has declared a mistrial in the first federal lawsuit involving use of Merck's withdrawn painkiller Vioxx. The judge issued the ruling after the jury had deliberated a total of 18 hours without being able to decide whether the drug was responsible for the death of a Florida man who had taken it for a month. Samuel Davis is an attorney who represents clients for pending Vioxx cases.
I think this is a loss for Merck, combined with the fact that they have to deal with a potentially devastating piece of new evidence that's going to come into every trial, and that's the New England Journal debacle over deleted data.
What happens next in the Houston case? CBS News legal consultant Andrew Cohen tells us.
I think we'll see a settlement here. Merck isn't going to want to gamble that more bad information about Vioxx comes out before a new trial, and the plaintiff won't want to wait for a new trial and the appeal that surely would follow. So there are incentives now that take hold that I think make it very unlikely that will ultimately see a new trial.
The first ballots are being cast in the long-awaited Iraq parliamentary elections. Prisoners, hospital patients, and members of Iraqi security forces are voting today, several days ahead of the general population. Insurgent violence as the election begins has killed at least 12 people. President Bush is in Philadelphia for another in his series of road trip speeches seeking to drum up support for his Iraq war policies. CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller is there and joins us live with a preview.
Chris, it's the third in a series of four speeches leading up to Thursday's parliamentary election in Iraq. Addressing the World Affairs Council here, President Bush will seek to make the case that despite ongoing bloodshed, important political progress has already been made. He'll point to previous elections this year in Iraq in which upwards of 10 million voters have taken part. Live in Philadelphia, I'm Mark Knoller, CBS News.
The Supreme Court says it will consider the constitutionality of the redrawn Texas congressional district map. It was engineered by former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, now fighting criminal charges, and helped Republicans win additional seats in Congress. Representatives of cable TV, faced with the threat of regulation from Congress, say some cable companies may start to offer family-friendly cable packages. More on this live from CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Senators were told some cable companies could start early next year offering a so-called family tier, so parents could only subscribe to channels they think it's okay for their kids to watch. Some in Congress want to regulate cable and satellite, just like over-the-air TV, to ban dirty words and nudity. Industry spokesmen say they are helping parents make choices, reminding them how to use parental controls, but warn Americans won't stand for the government trying to tell adults what they can and can't watch.
On Wall Street right now, Dow Industrials ahead 19 points, NASDAQ's up more than 7. This is CBS News.
When Jessica's mom bought the newly designed Maytag Neptune, the largest capacity front-load washer, Jessica was the first to notice.
My mom has a lot more free time these days. She used to make only a couple of my soccer games, but now she comes to every single one, even the away games, and for pizza afterward. My friends think she's pretty cool, but my boyfriend is still on the fence.
Is your mom gonna sit next to us during the whole movie?
Next month, my mom's chaperoning my senior prom. I can't wait.
The less laundry you have to do, the more living you can do. Thanks to the Maytag Neptune high-efficiency washer, which has the largest front-load capacity available, you can do more loads in less time. It even fits a king-size comforter and is tough on stains, yet protects your clothes, too. There's less laundry, more life with Maytag. Depend on us. Tag Neptune washers and dryers. Ends 1-1806. Visit Maytag.com.
News this hour brought to you by Men's Warehouse.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Well, we're still seeing a couple little issues for your ride this morning. Crews have cleared a three-car crash northbound 225 just past Iliff. Still seeing some pretty slow jams from Parker Road. Also seeing troubles southbound E-470, that rollover approaching 104th, and we have that new lane shift to deal with. Northbound I-25 at Colorado Boulevard, so that's bunching things up a bit. Also have a crash off to the shoulder right there, adding to the delays. Southbounders, it's slow. Free ride into downtown and through T-Rex. And if you're headed in from Lakewood, Sunglare gets you eastbound 6th Avenue. We're slow now from Sheridan over toward I-25. Onto the turnpike, things are starting to thin out eastbound. A little sluggish near Federal. Onto the forecast.
I have an exit 262 in Windsor and I-25 in Founders Parkway. Learn more at aircarecolorado.com or call 303-456-7090.
As the holidays come around once again, we already know who's naughty.
I don't know of anybody in my administration who leaked classified information.
And who's nice.
Well, let's see. We start with Morning's Edition, and then follow with Jay, and then you go to Al, and then you go to Ed, and then you go to Randy.
Various times I've listened to various people, and I love them all.
Oh, yeah. Ed Schultz and Al Franken and Randy Rhoads.
I love Jay Marvin. I think it's wonderful.
You know, I love them all. I always have the radio on.
Have a nice holiday season. From AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 9:05, 5 minutes after 9. High today, 50, plenty of sunshine. AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. President Bush, George W. Bush, to give a speech at 11:15 Eastern Time. About Iraq, getting off the plane with him, Arlen Specter and Rick Santorum. Is that a good idea for Santorum, considering he's behind in the polls already in Pennsylvania? All right, it's open phones. Anything you want to talk about, 303-713-7600. And there's a couple of things that I didn't bring up this morning. You know, I got blasted in an email about this. I am not for Hillary Clinton getting the Democratic nomination. Number one, I don't think she can win. And number two, I just don't agree with her. Now, this is from a Washington Post article this morning. At a time when politicians in both parties have eagerly sought public forums to debate the war in Iraq, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton has kept in the shadows. Clinton has stayed steadfastly on a centrist path, criticizing President Bush, but refusing to embrace the early troop withdrawal options that are gaining rapid favor in her party. This careful balance is drawing increasing scorn from liberal activists frustrated that one of the party's leading lights has shown little appetite to challenge Bush's policy more directly and embrace a plan to set a timetable for bringing U.S. forces home. Clinton is confronting the Democratic Party's longstanding dilemma on national defense, with those harboring national ambitions caught between the passions of the anti-war left and political concerns that they remain vulnerable to charges of weakness from Republicans if they embrace the party's base. But some Democrats say that the left, notwithstanding her refusal to advocate a speedy exit from Iraq, may reflect more of an accurate reading of public anxiety about the choices now facing the country. When Senate Democrats called on President Bush last month to explain the conditions and establish a schedule for withdrawing U.S. forces, Clinton offered to backroom advice on the language, but let others take the lead on the Senate floor. When Representative John P. Murtha, a Democrat, by the way, from Pennsylvania, where Bush will be today, called for removing all U.S. troops from Iraq over the next 6 months, the New York senator told reporters she was opposed. When her advisors were later asked whether she supports a two-year phase withdrawal advocated by a liberal think tank and embraced by the Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean, she demurred. I mean, does this make you happy with Hillary? And see, I reject this idea that if you want to get out of Iraq, whether you want phase withdrawals or redeployment, as Murtha talks about, or if you're in the position where you want to leave quickly, or that doesn't, you know, Democrats and liberals and progressives are only categorized as being weak on defense because we allow ourselves to be. A.K.A. the smear campaign that went with the Swift Boat veterans against Kerry. I mean, Kerry responded to that too late, and he kind of allowed that to happen. And I think we all want defense of the United States. I think we all want security. I think we all want those things. Why we let the Republicans get away with that stuff, I have no clue. We should stand up and tell them, you know what? No, we're for sensible spending on military. We're for a sensible, rational foreign policy. That is against a preemptive strike idea, as this administration advocates, which now has turned out to be a diplomatic and military blunder in the case of Iraq. And so Hillary Clinton's trotting of the middle, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just not impressed with it. And I really don't think she can win. And if it turns out to be a battle between John McCain and her, and a lot could change before, you know, when before 08 rolls around, the polls show that she couldn't beat McCain. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist said yesterday he is prepared to strip Democrats of their ability to filibuster if they try to stall Samuel Alito's nomination to the Supreme Court. The answer is yes, Frist said, when he was asked if he would act to change the Senate procedures to restrict a Democratic filibuster. He says Supreme Court justice nominees deserve an up or down vote, and it would be absolutely wrong to deny them that. Democrats immediately called Frist's words unhelpful and potentially incendiary. They said Senate Democrats are waiting for the Judiciary Committee to act on Alito's nomination before they decide what to do. You know, the Republicans do this. And let me tell you something, it's going to come around one of these days to get them. It will. That's a time-honored tradition in the Senate to be able to filibuster. Russell Feingold's talking about the filibustering the Patriot Act. They do this, and it's going to come around to get them. All right, 303-713-7600. Let's go to the phones, and we'll go to Brian, who's been hanging on in Boulder. Brian, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Jay.
Thanks. Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. Jay, I couldn't agree with you more about Hillary. I'm just so frustrated with her. I saw the article in the New York Times about her supporting this flag amendment. You know,
oh, yeah, that's another one.
You know, and I just, she's more of the same. And you know, we have to remember what Republicans say about Wellstone. I mean, even the people who disagree with him so vehemently said they respected him because he stood by his beliefs. And Hillary is not showing that. I would love to see a woman president. But Hillary is not our candidate. She is too wishy-washy. She's just playing the political game. She doesn't stand up for any. I don't see any true beliefs that she's standing up for. And I think we got to drop her like a hot potato.
Yeah, I agree. I hope she doesn't run. But the question is there anybody out there who's strong enough to challenge her?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there. You know, I mean, right now the candidate that, or he hasn't declared, but the one that fits closest the way I think is Russell Feingold. But I don't think Feingold can stop her.
Yeah, we have yet again a real emptiness when it comes to candidates, and maybe Barack Obama will step up, and I don't know if he has a chance, but he at least has some integrity. You know, I think will garner respect. But Jay, actually, I was holding on from the last hour and that discussion about the death penalty, and I really I'm glad you're having this discussion. I think it's really important for us as a society, and I just wanted to bring some clarification to the Christian perspective. In my view, you know, you were saying that people interpret the Bible in lots of different ways, but to me, the evidence on Jesus' position towards the death penalty is very clear. I mean, there's no instances in the Bible where Jesus, you know, steps into an abortion clinic and stops an abortion, because, of course, those didn't happen then, but he does step in to stop an execution where people were going to stone a woman to death. And, you know, people keep referring back to the Ten Commandments, and I call those not, you know, Christians who don't believe in Jesus' teachings, you know, like, it's why don't we put up the Beatitudes? Why don't we put the Beatitudes in stone and put those up instead of the Ten Commandments? I mean, when you go right to the Gospels and see what Jesus taught, it's really, he taught some really tough stuff. And I think what we have today is cheap Christianity. It's a Christianity where you can just say, I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and that doesn't mean I have to try to live any of his teachings. It doesn't mean I have to actually try to love my enemy like he taught me. You know, and I'm just, you know, that's what drives me crazy. And I know that this is a tough issue, and I haven't had a loved one killed by, you know, someone, so I don't know what it's like to go through personally. But I think for those of us who consider ourselves Christians, if we don't want to engage in cheap Christianity, then we have to take those teachings of Jesus seriously. He said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye. That's the old law. What I say is, love your enemy. And that's Jesus' law. And you know, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we got to start trying to live that.
So all Christians should oppose the death penalty, in your opinion?
In my opinion, yeah. I think it's unequivocal. And, you know, the Catholic Church has done it for a long time. And I think the support of the death penalty among the, especially the religious right, to me, goes against Jesus' teachings.
Yeah, you know what I need? Maybe I'll get it for Hanukkah. Is I need a concordance.
Mm. Well, you can go online. There's some good ones online where you can do searches and put in a phrase, and you can find that in the Bible and pull it out, because that could be useful in some of these discussions with fundamentalists. I pulled it out myself because my stepfather's a fundamentalist, and we have ongoing debates.
Yeah, I just need one of those computerized concordances, one of those programs you can load into your computer where I can go check that stuff out. And I wonder where you would order one of those.
I don't know, Jay, but I think it's a great idea. I think that the bar has been set incredibly low for Christianity, that it's just about what you believe, is not and it's not what you do, it's not trying to actually live out Christ's beliefs. And so I think that needs to be brought. If we're going to call ourselves a Christian nation, then we have to look at the death penalty differently.
Well, we're supposedly Judeo-Christian.
Yeah.
Don't leave us Jews out of the equation.
I'm sorry. I apologize. But I'm talking about the way the right presents us to the world, you know, that we're kind of the empire of Christ, you know. And I think it's a Hypocratic hypocrisy, hypocritical way to go. And yes, it does leave out a lot of other perspectives in this country. And we're not just a Christian nation.
All right, Brian. Thanks, man. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, we'll talk to you. Get out there and enjoy the sunshine, because there's plenty of it. All right, 9:16, 16 minutes after 9 on AM 760 Boulder's Progressive Talk, and it is going to be a real nice day today. And hopefully it'll melt away some of that lingering snow. Unless you're of the opinion that you like it because it fits the season and you would hope that we have a white Christmas. 303-713-7600, open phones, one line open here at 303-713-7000, open here at 303-713-7000.
Every holiday, to our dismay, we worry about our size. So this year, combine your shopping with some good aerobic exercise. You'll find 300 stores in our 16 blocks, what's more? You can dine and drink, then skate our rink, burn off that petit four. For gifts and food and play, you'll be shaping up to say, it's a merry Cherry Creek North holiday.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
Take Claritin. Won't stop it. I assume it's a cold. Could be allergies. Might be something else. All right, it's open phones. 303-713-7600. The president giving another speech on Iraq in Philadelphia in front of the World Affairs Council. You think this guy can turn his polls around by giving these speeches? I wonder about that. And as I mentioned this morning about the poll numbers, the media was making this big deal about it. Oh, he's up 5 points. But the margin of error is 2 to 3 percentage points. So what is that, about 2%? Is that what it comes up to? With a large majority of this country still opposing the war in Iraq and thinking that we were misled. I'm having one of those mornings. All right, let's go to Robert, who's been hanging on. Robert, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's see, I wanted to talk about the Tukey Williams thing. After listening to one of your callers a couple calls ago, I don't know if I believe this way anymore, but I think they should talk to the families of the deceased and see what they think about putting them to death.
Well, letting them make the decision, though, is tantamount to endorsing a lynch mob situation.
Yeah.
We don't operate on those grounds, thankfully, in this country.
Right, but, you know, so, and that's true, but, you know, if you kill someone, maybe you should die. And you were talking earlier saying if it was thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's see, Exodus 20, 13, it says you shall not murder. So murder. So the difference.
Yeah, but I was referring to the Ten Commandments. What do the Ten Commandments say?
Yeah, that's where the Ten Commandments
it says
are.
It says thou shalt not kill.
No, I'm looking at it right now. Exodus.
Are you looking at the Ten Commandments? Not a quote out of the
yes,
Bible.
Sir.
You looking at the Ten Commandments?
Yes, sir. Exodus 20.
No, but Exodus 20 isn't in the Ten Commandments, is it?
Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments are located.
Okay, so it says what? Thou shalt not murder?
Thou shalt not murder.
All right, if it says thou shalt not murder... then do you think that would be right? Does one murder equal another one?
Good question, because in the next chapter, chapter 21 of Exodus 12, it says, "He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death."
Well, so what happens if the state does it? Do you think that's a good idea? The state does it in the name of the taxpayers?
No, well, this is what I think. I think that if you have indisputable evidence that somebody killed somebody else, especially these rapists going around, you know, the guy in Florida who was on video took that girl and went and raped her and killed her, and now he's sitting in trial, I think we shouldn't mess with that. I think we should take them. We know they did wrong, indisputably. I think we should get a rope, put around their neck, and hang them. Now, what kind
of... that's great bravado on your part, but the reality of the situation is, if you believe, and I guess you consider yourself to be somewhat religious, if you believe...
Spiritual.
If you or spiritual, whatever, you know, words you want to use, if you believe in that, then how does one murder set right another murder? Aren't you yourself committing a sin by murdering somebody?
No, because I think our ultimate goal is to make the unified society, and obviously these people don't have.
Wait a minute, how does that work? Our ultimate goal is to make a unified society. What's that got to do with it?
Well, because people who are going around killing and raping people, they obviously what I mean they're
well, nobody's saying that if they get a fair and just trial. And, there was just a guy recently, I can't remember where, I think it was either in Michigan or Illinois, where he was convicted of rape, served time, like 20 years or something,
right.
And then they found out through DNA he didn't do it.
Yeah, and then that's why now that we have DNA, we should start all over with the new philosophy.
Well, what do you do about those people? Well, what about if there is no DNA in the case?
Well, then, yeah, that's where we kind of got it.
And then you also get into the whole thing, which nobody wants to confront. When I've talked about this, nobody wants to come up and confront this. What about the idea that, you're supposed to get a fair and just and speedy trial in this country, and what happens if you don't get adequate representation?
Well, and you got a very good point, because kind of money you have, like O.J.
Well,
Simpson,
all right.
You know?
I mean, so then if somebody who's a lower middle class or poor, and they get accused of a crime... Even if there's witnesses who claim that they did it,
right.
And witnesses have recanted in the past, but even if there's witnesses who claim that they did it, and you don't get proper representation, would you then endorse taking somebody's life based on that?
No.
It goes on all the time.
Hold on. I think that, we need indisputable evidence. The video camera, the DNA.
But still, if they don't get proper representation, if you've got a video cam, even if you've got a DNA, even if you've got all that stuff, if they don't get proper representation, which they're supposed to get under our laws, if they don't get it, if they don't get proper representation, how can you therefore, you put somebody to death if they didn't get proper representation, if the system didn't work?
Well, look at, this 18-year-old who killed his girlfriend's parents because he said that they couldn't see each other anymore. He don't need representation. We know he did it. He's
guilty.
Oh,
come on. Now you're in the position of denying people a right of trial. You know who else does that, who denies that people a right of trial? You know who used to do that on a regular basis?
Who?
Saddam Hussein. Thank you for the call. You consider yourself in that league? I realize that the argument I'm making is a very uphill argument, and it's a very difficult one to make. I realize it's very, very tough to make it against this. But I don't trust human beings to make these decisions. And I don't think taking one life, if murder is wrong, then you turn around and because the state does it, that suddenly isn't murder? Let's go to Sarah in Fort Collins. Sarah, hi, you're on AM 760.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Not too bad. I have to say, Brian, a couple callers ago, with his clear Christianity, really kind of took my thunder away, but I still have a couple of things to add.
Well, go ahead.
If you really want to bring it down to biblical Christianity, then you really, yes, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. God did say vengeance was his. Do I believe in our justice system? Absolutely not. Regardless of whether it's on tape and there are 100 people witnessing, it's still not right to put that person to death based on, like you said, a lynch mob mentality. Yes, those people are going to be hurting and angry. To leave the decision up to them would be just asinine. Should he be off the streets for the rest of his life? Absolutely. But if you want to take it down to Christianity, all you have to do is look at the Apostle Paul, whose job was to round up and kill Christians. That's what he did for a living before Christ called him to be an apostle, and look at what he did for Christianity in the early days. You can't say that if this person truly has reformed, what could he do to influence others who will then get out of prison?
Yeah, you know, having grown up in a Jewish household, you know, I need this for Hanukkah. I need a concordance so I can go through and look at all this stuff and look it up.
Yeah, it's helpful.
You know, because when you're obviously when you grow up Jewish, I mean, you don't learn about the New Testament. But you see, there's always, here's the thing, which I was making this point last hour. There seems to be contradicting quotes in the New Testament, or are the people who are calling up and giving these things, are they cherry-picking it?
Yes, that's exactly it. Plus, when you're going to talk about the difference between the words murder and kill, you're arguing semantics. You're arguing 2,000 years of translations. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous to argue one word, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what we were getting into. And I always thought the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not kill. I guess I have to go to a courthouse and look at the Ten Commandments on the wall or something.
Well, and you'd really have to look at the original text, honestly. I mean, how many times has it been translated between murder and kill? Or translated from one language to another where they don't necessarily have the right words, the same words as English, you know? It's arguing semantics is what it is.
Yeah, good point. Sarah, thanks. Thanks for the enlightenment.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay, for all you do.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You're very kind. Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. Yeah, I got to get a computerized concordance. But you know what? I've got a Mac. Do they sell those things? If anybody knows, 303-713-7600. If anybody knows where you can get a computerized concordance program, a computer program, not a computerized concordance. Way to go, Jay. But a computer program which would have this information. Because, you know, growing up in a Jewish household, we weren't taught about the New Testament. But I wonder if this stuff is just cherry-picked. You know, kind of like the Bush administration cherry-picked intelligence. All right, let's open phones. You don't have to talk about the death penalty. And this is the longest discussion we've had about it. There's all sorts of other things to talk about, too. 9:30 at AM 760, Boulder's Progressive.
Visit LiveSouthShore.com for more details. Don't miss out on waterside living in Aurora. Visit LiveSouthShore.com.
Because they want your experience to be good, because that way you go to somebody else and go, hey, man, I had a great experience. I mean, I could talk about Rockies because Mary and I have bought cars from Rockies over the last 6 years. John Turk, the producer of the show, went and bought a car at Rockies. Somebody here who works here called me on Friday. And said, hey, man, I'm going out to Rockies. I said, good. Go see my friend Marvin Alshear out there. He'll take care of you. Rockies Autos, where every car is equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care. 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. And they're open Monday through Saturday from 8 a.m. From 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. And they've been family-owned and operated since 1982. They're not some big, faceless corporation. Rockies Autos. Check them out on the Internet at RockiesAutos.com. And pre-qualify for a car loan, or just get out there and see them in person. As a matter of fact, I'll be out there either Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't have my schedule like in front of me, but I'll be out there again this week. And if you come out there, I'll probably run into you. Rockies Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of Boulder Turnpike. They're more than just a car dealership, at least in my life and Mary's life. They're our good friends. Glad to have you along, and I'm still looking for somebody to tell me about this, where I can get a computerized. Why do I keep saying computerized? You know what? Can we turn the clock back to 6 a.m. this morning? I've struggled all morning long here. I want a program of a concordance, and I want it for Mac, because I use Mac, which I know sometimes when it comes to computer programs is a gigantic pain in the you-know-what. But I like Mac. Maybe we should have a debate about that sometime on the air here. Which is a better system, Microsoft or Mac? All right, let's go back to the phones, and we go to Mike in Silverthorne, and he's been on for a while. Mike, thanks for hanging on, and you're on AM 760. Go ahead.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good. How you doing? I just wanted to offer a quick point, and I'll listen off the air because I'm working. But regarding the death penalty, my biggest problem with it is the effect on the families. You know, if I were a killer and went out and I, you know, was sentenced to death, you know, I think the worst effect would fall on my mother, my father, you know, my sister. And in these situations, I think when this is stretched out for like 11 years, I just can't imagine what these families go through. This must be absolutely excruciating. And, you know, that I think there's just too much collateral damage involved. I have no problem sending these guys, making them do hard labor or making them drive in a truck in Iraq or something like that. But, you know, I just think that it's not worth the price. You know, the collateral damage is too much. And I just want to offer that, and I'll listen off the air.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Yeah, he's right about, you know what, there's damage on both sides. I had a woman once, this is when I worked in Chicago, and I got a lot of stories about working there because I worked there like three times, and I consider Colorado to be my home, I really do, and I don't plan to go anywhere else unless management has other plans for me, which has happened in the past, but I had a woman call me once, like 1 o'clock in the morning, and you know, because I was on it like 10 at night to 2 in the morning, and the station had this huge signal. Got out to 38 states, Canada, and the Caribbean. This woman called me, and she was crying on the phone because her son had been murdered. And it was a terrible, terrible thing. And I felt for her. I really did. So it's not like if you're against the death penalty. It's not like you don't care about the deceased. I mean, the phone call, I mean, I'm sorry about the families of the deceased. I mean, the phone call was absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, it was terrible. And in the end, we were both crying on the air. I mean, it was that bad. Because she had tremendous pain in her heart. But the damage that it inflicts, not only on those who suffer a loss, but, you know, those who have a member of their family that's working its way through the appeals process because you want to make sure that nothing is wrong. I think there's damage to them too. And I've been trying to say this all morning. I just don't trust the justice system. I just think it should be we should have a conference in this country. We should look into the problems in the death penalty. And how to rectify those problems. And one of the things is to make sure that people are guaranteed adequate representation. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been to court. I don't know how many of you have ever been involved in a situation where you're either being sued or you're suing somebody. Or, you know, anything else. I mean, you get busted for illegal activity. You get accused of a crime. It costs to get a good lawyer. It's expensive. And a lot of people, think about this, a lot of people and a lot of us, and I include myself in this, we don't have the resources to be able to fight an adequate battle. I mean, you got money up to a point, but that money gets vacuumed away. And the kind of lawyer you have in court makes a lot of difference. Even if there's quote-unquote overwhelming evidence, it's very, very hard. It really is. And I think we've got to reform those things. We've got to fix those things. And if we fix those things, then we can get into a philosophical debate about whether, you know, it's morally right or wrong. That the two wrongs make a right if you believe that the death penalty is murder. All right, I got to go to Malik in Denver, who has my concordance information. Malik, hi, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jay. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Where do I get this thing?
Well, there's a couple of them online. As a matter of fact, I am just sending you, I'm firing off the email right now, of where you can go and download the software if you want to purchase it. They range from $50 to the Strong's Concordance, which is they do have an electronic version of it, and it's like almost $1,000. But they range.
Oops.
Yeah, I know. They could be kind of expensive. But I did want to make a comment for you. I went and I looked it up for you. There's a problem with the translation. And if you go and you look in Exodus 20, and it's verse 13, that's where you find in the Ten Commandments the, you know, thou shalt not kill, it's actually mistranslated, because the Hebrew word for kill is harak, and the actual word that's used is ratza, which is the meaning of a criminal act of murder. So it's mistranslated into to say thou shalt not kill. It's actually thou shalt not murder. And the I think the gentleman that called a few minutes ago had said that there are, if you go into the verse or the book 21, chapter 21, you'll find where it talks about capital punishment. Capital, when you commit a capital crime, there is capital punishment. And it's also in the New Testament, funny enough, that people tend to forget this, but Jesus himself had made a statement about committing, or executing people who are committing capital crime. And I have to get that verse for you, and I'll email it to you also, so you'll have that. But it is in the Bible, in the Scriptures, you do find capital punishment is a part of both the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Well, what is, can you remember, what does Jesus say about capital punishment?
There was. I have to go and get that for you, the verse, because it's been a little while since I read it, and I have the Bible here, and I'll email it to you. But basically what he was talking about were those people who were committing crimes, you know, capital crimes, such as murder, adultery. They're listed with murder, adultery, some of the things that are going on in our society today that we tend to overlook. He was referring to a lot of those things. And I'm trying to remember. It's been a while because I haven't looked at it, but it's there. I'll go and get it, and I'll email it to you. I believe it's in the book of John, if I remember right. It's in John, I want to say John 15 or something. I'll get it for you.
Yeah, good. And, I appreciate that concordance information. Somehow I don't think going to Mary and saying, gee, could I have like a $1,000 concordance for Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever? I don't think that would wash too well, you know?
You know what? I wanted to buy one so bad. I'm just like you, and because I study this stuff all the time, and I wanted to buy one, and I went. I researched Strong's is the best. It's so expensive, though. Oh, my goodness.
It's all right. So let me get this straight, though. There is, like, a cheaper one.
There are cheaper versions out there, and I did send you an email on both.
Okay, you're a good man. I appreciate you listening to the program, and most of all, I appreciate the information.
So, keep up the good work, Jake.
Okay, thanks. All right, you people better be aware. You people, I sound like Limbaugh. Okay, you better be aware. Jay's going to get his hands on a concordance. Then we're going to be able to get it on. 9:44, 60 minutes away.
Test drive on Tuesdays. Look in Tuesday's Post News Classified section for dealers and details. Quantities are limited. The Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News. Power Tools.
AM 760. The real story. 24/7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ned Schultz, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhodes, 4 to...
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
The Royal Commission said today that it found irregularities in voter registration in the volatile northern oil city of Kirkuk. The discovery was the first instance of an election irregularity announced by the commission as the country prepared for a vote on Thursday. And, you know, from what little I know of George W. Bush's speech, he's saber-rattling at Iran and Syria. I'm sure he'll be able to talk the Iranians out of their nuclear weapons, right, or their manufacturing of nuclear weapons. By the way, somebody called in to give me this information. Thank you. In the King James Version, it is, thou shall not kill, which I guess is what I always had quoted to me all the time. Thou shall not kill. But I warn you. Malik has given me the information. I'm going to get a concordance. Now, not the $1,000 one. It's Mary throw me out of the house if I try to get a $1,000 one. But I'm going to get one. And I'm going to run off all the biblical quotes about all my favorite subjects, and I'm going to bring it here to work. So nobody can pull one over on me. All right, let's go back to the phones. 303-713-7600, one line open. And let's go to Glenn, who's in Colorado Springs. Glenn, good morning. You're on AM 760.
Hey, Jay. Good to talk to you. I haven't been around for a while.
Yeah, where you been?
It's in your show. Busy. What can I say?
Wait, you doing a little Christmas shopping, are you?
No, I had to do travel, but anyway, glad to be back in Colorado.
Nice to have you back.
Well, thank you, and I always enjoy your show. I've given up trying to call in about political stuff, but all this moral and biblical stuff, I'm into that. But I just want to say the one thing you need. Now, I went out and I only spent $30 on about a 15-pound Strong's Concordance. So if you still can handle the old-fashioned book form, it'll save you a whole lot of money. And Malik's right, Strong's is the best. They really are the best. But,
yeah, but I want a computer program.
I know, but that's what everybody wants now, but... I just wanted to comment real quick, and I know we're running out of time. What Malik was saying was so true. You have to look at the original language, and all due respect to Sarah, but if she checks the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, we know we have the exact language. We have manuscripts. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls. I mean, there's the whole idea that the translations have been lost. That really doesn't hold water very well. And even the Greek language that isn't used anymore, the ancient Greek, we still know it very well. We have tens of thousands of manuscripts showing that we have the accurate language. So it just takes the time, just like you guys have been saying in these calls, to look up the word. King James, they did. They blew it with the word kill versus the Hebrew word. So there are ways to check that.
So I should are you saying I should disregard the what I've always been taught of the King James Version?
Well, no. It's just we have to be aware that our English translation, English is one of the most non-expressive languages in the world when you look at Greek and Hebrew. So now and then you just have to kind of go back, do your homework and check to see is that an accurate translation. But the other thing you need, and you really need this, because I hear this all the time with Christians calling your show, as Christians we are so guilty of forgetting that our whole foundation of our faith is the Hebrew or the Jewish faith. Jesus quoted out of Genesis more than any other book in the Bible. He did not override everything. He added to it, just like thou shalt not murder. He said even if you downgrade a brother, you're committing murder. So he went even further in the interpersonal relationships. But he said, I'm here to fulfill the Old Testament, not to do away with it. And as Christians, we are so guilty of being ignorant to how it's all linked back to Jewish. Jesus, even the things he did, he timed them all around the Jewish festivals and the Jewish holidays. I mean, it's just amazing. And what you really need is a study Bible that has cross-references. So when you look up your Jewish verse right next to it, it will give you New Testament references that you can go to so that you're sure that you're not interpreting that verse incorrectly. A good example, I thought of you the other day. My six-year-old was doing her homework, and... going over grammar rules. And I said, I don't even know these grammar rules, but somehow I can speak English. And my wife, who's the smarter one, she said, well, your math rules and grammar rules, we learn them foundational in grammar school, and then we use them the rest of our lives even though we don't even remember what the rules are. And I said, it's funny. We go to the Bible and we cherry pick, like you always say, but if we learn the rules or interpretation, then we won't be so guilty of misinterpreting a verse. And again, you do that by scripture interprets scripture. You look at all the scriptures that deal with capital punishment, Old and New Testament, and you come up with a much accurate interpretation than just picking one verse that's totally out of context, that maybe it was God speaking to the Jewish people as a nation versus, dealing with person on person. I can forgive a person if they murdered somebody in my family. I can make that forgiveness because it'll just tear me up the rest of my life if I don't. That's why God says, don't you hold on to that revenge. It's for our benefit. It'll ruin us. But that doesn't mean there isn't a consequence. And again, as Malik said, capital crimes, eye for an eye was justice. It was not revenge. Again, look it up and put it in the context in the scriptures.
But boy, you know something, though? We are really... Although the recent statistic I saw about capital punishment indicated that more and more of the country was turning against it, but we're really a revengeful society in a lot of ways. And this
I'm guilty too.
Well, yeah, we all are. But I mean, it differs though in how you're revengeful. I mean, I never think in revenge. Okay, I never think about killing somebody. Or murdering somebody, whatever term you want to use. Sometimes you think to yourself, that person should get the hell beat out of them, which is obviously wrong. I mean, you don't go around to people you don't particularly agree with or that you don't like, and pull out a uh, you know, baseball bat and start beating the crap out of them.
Right.
But we've all had those thoughts. But it seems like, man, we are really, really, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seems like we're really, really revenge-oriented here, and we really want to, like, you know, thank God we've got some kind of laws in this country, because people would just, I mean, we'd be back to the days where, you know, people got strung up.
Right, but like I said, just, and again, it's in the Jewish scriptures, an eye for an eye, that's the same as saying the punishment should fit the crime. It wasn't a revengeful, I'll show you, you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you. That,
right,
that's what our whole justice system is built on.
All right, Mal, I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Call again.
You take care.
Okay, take care. I appreciate that call. Let me go to Tim in Longmont. Tim, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, Tim.
I just wanted to chime in a little bit about Tukey Williams again. I grew up around the Federal Prison Service. My father worked for them, and I've been inside several of the maximum security federal pens.
Wow.
Most people don't come out of there better than what they went in. So you got to look at what he's done with his life. He's not the same man he was 25 years ago. And I'm sure you're not, and I'm not either. But, you know, he's done a lot of positive things. And if someone wants retribution, like one caller you said brought up the girl in Florida that was murdered and raped by that guy, you want retribution, send him to life in prison in federal pen, because he'll get a lot worse than the death penalty in there. Pedophiles, child molesters, and rapists are at the bottom of the heap in federal penitentiaries. And most people's view of prisons are what they see, you know, county road workers, they're in for 2 months to 2 years. Most people have never seen a maximum security federal penitentiary. And it's not a nice place to be.
Yeah, I hear it's pretty bad. I mean, I was talking earlier about my friend who now has become an acquaintance, because I haven't talked to him in a long time, who spent 20, I mean, he was in a cell next to Carl Chessman, the stoplight, you know, bandit and murderer. And he said, man, all these people on the outside minimize this place, and all these people, you know, talk tough. He said, but you know what? You get behind bars, and it's a whole different story.
Oh, right, right.